Yes, we do. Okay. And if you will go through the procedures for the public hearing, and then we'll have the minutes approved, and then we'll have the public hearing items.
This is the Tannehill County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Tannehill County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application which is filed with the Tannehill County Planning Commission staff. The Tannehill County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file including all pertinent information for each case is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet which is provided at the front of the room. Registrations for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. And the regular meeting of the Planning Commission, which is normally held 1 week after the public hearing, will be held, as you've heard, immediately following this meeting. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. And this meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case is heard.
Okay. First item of business is to approve the minutes of February 16th, 2010. If you'll remember, we were snowed out the first meeting of that month, and so there is only one set of minutes. So would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of February 16th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of February 16th.
Okay, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving then to the public hearings, and the first issue on the agenda is the Branson Bank Warehouse. So Mr. Coxey, is all of the technology about
ready to get on, and we'll find out.
Okay. Okay, so if you'll please read the staff report.
This is the Division 3 staff report for the Branson Bank Warehouse, dated March 8, 2010. Case number 10-1. This is the public hearing for Branson Bank Warehouse at 2909 State Highway 265 in the Oliver Township, Section 26, Township 22, Range 22. The applicant requests approval for a permit on an existing warehouse and an office building. The history is that it is approved for concept on January 19, 2010. General description, the subject property is located 1/4 mile southeast of the highway on 265 and 165 intersections of Hollister there. The adjoining properties to the request consist of undeveloped and residential. Review: the proposed site consists of a 5,000-square-foot warehouse building and a 600-square-foot office showroom on 5.37 acres. The project scored a minus 21 out of a possible 65. Issues were sewage disposal, emergency water supply, waste disposal, use compatibility, water system service, and outdoor equipment storage. Summary: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. That be compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: A, sediment and erosion control; B, stormwater management; C, land grading permits; D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain; E, utility easements and building line setbacks; F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts; G, improvements with scale of building, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number 2, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts. Number 3, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste material. Number 4, Division 2 permits required for all applicable structures in the development. And number 5, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire.
Okay.
Just real quick, because it's been a long time since you heard this concept. Mm-hmm. This is a project that went in next to, pretty close to the sanctuary. And as it went in, no permits were pulled for this building or anything like that. The people who put the building in didn't include any sewer, any water, anything on the project. Since that time, the property has been taken over by the bank. The bank is wanting to sell this, so in their checking with what needed to be done with the sewer and everything like that, found out that this project never had been approved. Or bring it before you now, because as they put this project on the market, they would like for it to be able to be used as a warehouse, and they also are going to, you know, be working with the sewer. As you see, that was one of the things that got hit on the scoring sheet, but it is something they are working on, sewer and water and those kind of things like that. So this is where the project is located, out off of State Highway 265. Of course, the purple areas here you'll see will be the city limits of Hollister. Let's move down a little closer there. Is that what we're doing? Of course, just a better shot of this. This is a cell tower. This is the closest residence to the place, that we can see. It's really kind of secluded. This comes way down in here, drops off pretty heavy from the road. So when you're standing up here, you're actually looking at the rooftops and everything. It's not quite as sparse. This house is actually kind of hard to see from this area here. Let's go on some more, Dan. This is what's existing out there now. This is the warehouse building. When I first came to work for Tama County, this was a little kind of a rundown garage thing. And I saw this getting some attention. I did stop in and post that with a no permits posted sign. These people did come back to me at that particular time and say, we're just kind of renovating our garage. This right here is this building here.
Okay, is the little building on the property under consideration?
This is the little office area. Okay. It's mentioned, and this is the big warehouse building. And they're both there. This one doesn't have the finish on the outside of it yet. You can see it's got like a skim coat where you would put rock or something on the outside or something like that. But it's not totally finished. At the same time, again, there was no septic system or anything like that put in. I don't believe there's even a well on the property right now to supply water to it. Do you have the videos with you? Okay. We won't see a video, I guess. So this is a sort of lifestyle. Okay. So what they have here on this is it comes down off the road, flattens out to this piece of property. These are just the two. You don't really notice them. You have to be looking for them when you drive down the road to see them.
Okay.
And everything. And
would you please go back to the map?
Sure.
Okay. The one that shows blue waters.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a residential development, single-family homes.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's basically the peak of that mountain, isn't it?
Yes.
Eddie?
Yes.
Right. But that particular map shows no property or no structures on it. Is that correct?
In the blue waters is, of course, the home here.
No, I mean in the outlined area.
There is a house right here.
Okay. So we're looking at the purple.
The purple area is the city limits of Hollister.
Okay, but we're not looking at the blue.
This is the piece of property you're
okay.
considering.
Okay, and I don't see a structure on that.
These pictures...
Area photos were old.
Yeah. Are
okay, old. That's just what I want to make sure.
Right.
So how long has the structure been on that property, do you think?
Probably 2 years.
Okay.
Close to 2 years, I would guess.
At least.
And everything.
Okay.
I bought rock from that place.
Okay.
2 years ago. So
and you thought it was legitimate, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And the only other question that I have before we go into the public hearing is county sewer?
Put that back.
Is anywhere close
right now,
to that?
There is no county sewer. As you know, the city of Hollister annexed out there what would be called the sanctuary. They annexed that in. Of course, the sanctuary has recently, I think, gone into receivership again for the second time. The intention was the city of Hollister is running sewer out to that, and it's all going to tie in, I think, through the plant with Emerald Point, and then it's all going to go into the city of Hollister. It's not, but that's there's not any construction or anything going on out there right now, so that may be a few years down the line. So it will be necessary if this is going to operate to have an approved septic system on there, and the representative here has been in touch with the sewer district and everything. That's how this all kind of unfolded to where we are now.
Okay. 5.37 acres. And again, the intended use of the warehouse is?
The banks themselves who are on the property now do not have a specific use for it. When it was built as a tile and stone and a warehouse up the top showing the different kinds of stones and stuff that were available, mostly for outside type stuff and everything. As for a future use, I don't know.
Okay, so they're not wanting to use it as a warehouse.
No, the bank the bank is only asking that it be approved basically for what it was, so that in the event that it is sold, then somebody could come in there and use it.
So basically they're going to sell the property.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. The bank has no intention of operating that.
Okay. Any other clarification questions before we move on to the public hearing then? Okay, I have one person who has signed up, Mr. Terry Duggan.
I'm from the bank.
Okay, well, why don't you come forward, because maybe there are some questions and things that you might want to explain. And is Duggan right, or are you a Duggan?
Duggan.
Duggan, okay.
In Ireland, it's Duggan.
I bet it is. Okay.
Basically, we have foreclosed on the property. We went through the process of trying to find out what kind of water and sewage were on there, and we found out that through the process that there was no permit. So we went through the process of filling out our documentation and bringing it forward to you. Our intent is to sell it. Banks are not in the real estate business. We just are in the lending business. So we'd just like to have it approved as it sits right now. No specific buyers in the market right now for it. So just a warehouse.
Okay. But your plans are to do water and sewer.
Yes, our plans are, yeah, that's what we were initially intending to do, is trying to find out what it would cost to do a well, what it would cost to do a septic system, and that's when we ran into the issue that there wasn't a permit.
Okay. But you're going to continue on with those utilities?
Exactly.
In the hope of making it more marketable?
More septic, exactly.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Duggan? If not, we'll close the public hearing on the Branson Bank Warehouse. Okay? And we'll move on to the, and I always like saying this, am I right that it's the, it is,
the
it's the Pajama Mama's Bed and Breakfast. Do we have someone who needs to sign?
She would like to sign it for
okay.
The very last one that you have. Not
okay, not this one. Okay. On this one. Okay. Just sign your name.
So this is either Pajama Mama or Pajama Mama.
Okay, we're ready for Pajama Mamas.
Pajama Mama.
Pajama Mamas.
Something.
Or Pajama Mamas.
I'm pretty sure it's Pajama.
Okay.
But I won't push the other issue. This is the Division 3 staff report for Pajama Mamas, or Pajama Mamas Bed and Breakfast, dated March 8, 2010, case number 10-02. This is the public hearing for Pajama Mamas Bed and Breakfast, located at 203 Dulos Road in the Branson Township, Section 28, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, Ashley and Richard Moen, request approval to operate a bed and breakfast from an existing structure. History is that it was approved for concept on January 19, 2010. General description, the subject property is located off of Dulos Road and contains 1.26 acres. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and commercial. Review, the proposed site consists of an existing single-family dwelling with four bedrooms and a swimming pool. The project scored a minus 23 out of a possible 53, with the following policies receiving a negative score. Roads, emergency water supply, waste disposal, water system service, buffer screen, traffic, residential privacy. Proposed parking on the driveway will not be adequate, and that has been discussed with them. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply and must be revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. A, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. B, improvement with scale of building, street, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number four, Division 2 permits and certificate of conformance will be required before opening. Number five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. As we get into this, I do need to bring up to you one more thing, and I've already told Moen this, that last week the sewer district was in the neighborhood working on the grinder pump, and it appears that this house and the house next door are both serviced with the same grinder pump for the sewer. The representative from the sewer district did come into our office and said, do you have a request for a bed and breakfast at this location? And I said, yes, we do. And they said, well, we're going to request a separate grinder pump for this particular location because what's in there now will not handle both residences if this one has increased traffic in it. They're not requesting an additional line. They will let it tie into the same existing line that's there, just a separate pump to handle this particular one. That was their request, that be made to you. As discussed before, also, the driveway is not quite adequate to handle the parking needs, and we've given some descriptions and stuff like that. We can get into that a little further if you'd like as we get into this. But just a few things like that, and then let's go and look at the slides then. As you know, this is out off of Lakeshore Drive up to Dulas, and it is, go ahead and give me a bigger picture, Dan. Of course, this being Dulas Ministries here, this is the house that shares the grinder pump with this, and as we said, it's 1.25 acres, a lot of room there and everything. This is the driveway that was hoping to be used for the parking and everything like that, but if every room was full and everything, there would be some concern as far as even the visitors there getting in and out of this driveway with cars parked there in parallel parking. Mm-hmm. In parallel parking, we require that if it's two-way, that this be 24 mm-hmm. feet plus the I believe it's 9 feet for the width of that. With this kind of deal, it could probably be modified a little bit. But we have discussed, and they do have room to do
it. Eddie, is that an easement that's on that upper part that's in the grass that has the
park? Right here.
Keep going back to your right. To your right. No, right.
This is the cul-de-sac.
The cul-de-sac.
This is the cul-de-sac.
Is that unfinished cul-de-sac right in there?
This cul-de-sac does not meet, of course, this size, because when you pull up in there, you actually go into Dulas' parking lot. So a cul-de-sac is normally 100 feet across on the platted easement, and mm-hmm. the driving surface is normally 80 feet across. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I did not measure it, but it's not. It is platted that way, so you can't, of course, you can't put any structures in any of this. Now, again, remember that these lines can be off.
Right, I understand that, but I've also driven on that just right. to see that there's not a lot of room.
No, there's
the
not.
Existing cul-de-sac.
And probably something in the parking may even have to be pushed out back into here or something like that. And I believe they have ample room to do something like that and everything. So we do have some concerns. Now, there's pretty good foliage right here and everything, but of course now we require fencing or screening for residential tracts of the joint. And this is really close here too, and I don't know if you would want a fence along here or something like that. This is be a commercial operation at Dulas. I'm guessing we consider that commercial and everything. But there is, I mean, it just opens up onto there. There's this is not thick screening. You can stand on the driveway, you can see all the way, through Dulas.
Under current code, is that commercial or is it grandfathered in?
Is Dulas?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's grandfathered. It exists as a business,
okay.
And everything. Of course, this is coming to you as special use, as a special use project. It is a subset of our Division 3 process. It is particular to these people and to this location, and of course, you have the right to put whatever stipulations that you feel are necessary. And you may not feel like any of that's necessary. I'm not saying that it is. Down here, you may want to consider something because our code book does state, where we adjoin residential property, something needs to be done there. And like I say, we've talked to them about the grinder pump and about the parking situation, and we'll make sure that all meets code. Now, that won't be an issue as it goes forward. So,
do you have a video on this?
I don't know. Did you not bring that? Just get on.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the public hearing part then. I have Terry Brown. And Mr. Brown, if you'll please announce your name and then tell us what you want to inform us about.
Sure.
Okay.
I am Terry Brown, and my wife, Jana, and I built our home about 50 feet. Our driveway is about 50 feet towards
the
north.
There's a marker, a pointer up there. And if you just push the red button, and you can stand there. And
okay. Let's see. So if this is the house, our house is right here. And we built our house 15 years ago. First of all, thank you for being on the commission, because I know y'all do this, and you do it on neighbors and our behalf. And so thank you. I've lived in Tannehill County for 20 years. I've been on staff at Duloss, so I'm familiar with their nonprofit business, and I think I liked it enough that I built a house across the street. Here's what happened with that neighborhood. Number one, it's a neighborhood, and I represent one of the neighbors, and I have signatures. There's 10 homes. If you count the homes, including that home, there's 10 homes. Marty and Gay Dingman built that home as a home. They bought the property from Rex Grady. His son Shane bought the house next to Marty. That's why they're sharing the pump there, or whatever, the water line. But so I have a signature from 7 homes in the community, and then there's another homeowner here that are against this. And there's some reasons. One is, when that area became a neighborhood, Spike White owned all that land, Kennecuck, and then a resort owned the property that Duloss owned. As someone came on staff at Kennecuck, they were given some property to build a home. And so it slowly evolved into a neighborhood. I walked that Duloss Road with Wade Meadows about 13 years ago, somewhere around there, asking him, what can our neighborhood do to get this road approved by the county? And he said, you've got to get the neighborhood together, get Duloss to pitch in, and bring it up to specs. So we had everybody pitch in, and we hired somebody to bring that road as best we could up to specs. The problem was the cul-de-sac that you're talking about was barely 66 feet, and Wade said, you've got to have enough room to have a fire truck pull around so nobody can park on this cul-de-sac. And then he said, you've got to make your ditch wider. Well, it was very difficult on both sides of the road, including this home that the Mullins own. There's a deep drop-off. So if you like, last night, there were 4 cars in the Mullin property and a motorcycle, so someone else, a 5th car, it's either last night or 2 nights ago, had to park on that Duloss Road. There's no sidewalk. There's just a wide ditch on both sides. So that area was built as a neighborhood. The Dingmans sold it to Greg and Aaron Smalley. They sold it to the Mullins. The Mullins aren't here tonight. I've met Richard and Ashley, neat people, but the 7 families here are saying, we want our neighborhood to stay a neighborhood. This road is very narrow, the cul-de-sac, and we treat it as a neighborhood. We have a great relationship with Duloss. Duloss is not like a business in one sense at all, because people live there, so we're all community. We know each other. We watch out for each other. So those are some of the factors on that road. You know, every night somebody's walking their dog. They're riding their bike. There's no sidewalks. There's nothing. All 7 of us that signed this against it are homeowners or taxpayers. And so it's something important to us. And so here's, you know, it kind of gets to when you start talking about this from our perspective. Parking's a big issue, but really, we just don't want something zoned commercial in our neighborhood. And so Lakeshore, I mean, I've lived on Lakeshore or on this road over a 20-year period. And Lakeshore is definitely commercial, and it makes sense to have a bed and breakfast or a hotel or Kennecuck or, you know, on Lakeshore Drive. But if you start moving in 2 blocks to our neighborhood or to Cougar Trails, just the homes behind us, or Woodson Bend, now all of a sudden, what becomes the stopping point where you go, okay, we zone this a bed and breakfast. There's 2 homes right now that are for sale somewhat across the street. So is somebody going to say, well, we would like those to be zoned as bed and breakfast? So that's why we're against it. It's nothing wrong with a good idea. But and so that's my question to y'all is, where do you draw the line when you're approving the zoning? And I just don't think you should. I think you should be very careful. I know you are sensitive to that somebody spends a lot of money, a lot of time to build a neighborhood, and you want to keep it a neighborhood. So I hope you'll consider that.
And Mr.
process.
Brown, did you hear what Mr. Coxey said, that this is coming in as a special use permit, which means it is not being rezoned? This is a permit for it to operate as a bed and breakfast only to these particular owners of the property. Excuse me. And the permit does not go with the property. It is unique to this ownership.
And that makes sense, except in other words, the folks that
I just
right
you'll,
yes.
you'll please submit
I
that
do understand
to us,
that. Yeah.
And I just want to make sure you understand that that's very different from zoning it commercial.
I understand. Yeah, okay. We just don't want a hotel on
right.
our street.
Understand. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I had some questions.
Okay. Okay.
Sarah.
Okay.
Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Come back. So you have seven different homeowners from that area, I mean different houses
right.
that have signed off, families that have signed off.
Yes, seven out of ten, and one of the ten is the Mullins home.
Okay, could you just show me with the pointer there what houses are represented with their no vote against that? So we know where you live up at the, right there.
I live here. This is Chris and Diane Cooper. They're across the street. So there's a no vote. The Weebies, Ward and Beth Weeby on this house.
Okay, the next one up.
Then there are a few houses right here. There's actually one, two.
You can show it there.
There's four.
Up there.
Okay. Yeah, so let's see. If this is me, that's the Coopers. This is me, the Weebies. This house is Michelle Weissman. She... against it. This is Tina and Eric. They signed against it. And then Dr. Russell at Collinsville Arts lives right here. They signed against it. And then John Moore is here. And he signed it. He lives right here. This home just got bought by someone to remodel. So
okay.
They're going to be up for sale.
Okay.
If we can move on then to the next person that wishes to speak, Mr. John Moore.
That's me. Hi. I want to thank you for letting me speak. John Moore. I own Cakes and Cream Dessert Parlor in Branson on the strip there. And I also have J.A. Moore Company Commercial Real Estate. So I'm a broker also. And I also sell some homes. I've lived at 130 Dulas for 17 years now. We bought there in about 92, and we have an acre and a half right on the corner when you first turn into Dulas off of Timberlake. And let me show you where I'm at there. Okay, I'm right here. And this road was all gravel when I moved in there. And like Terry said, we begged the county to help us out, and we barely got enough width. And it is a very tight road, and it's a drop-off over on this side, really heavy. And it's a drop-off on the other side, too, if it's a ditch. But my main thing is it is our neighborhood, and we do have a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And we really are—we have a neighborhood watch program going, and we really keep an eye on that because we are so close to the commercial strip, which is Lakeshore Drive, which is three blocks away. You know, it's over here on this side. So we do have strangers drive through there sometimes, but we usually know who they are. And my main thing is I'm in business, and I have Cakes and Cream, so I know a business with no sign is a sign of no business. And to be able to get people to this location, you've got to have Pajama Mama signs everywhere. And I can't really imagine telling somebody to come to my house and turn left at the Pajama Mama sign. But on top of that, it just completely changes the feel of our whole neighborhood. Because right now, there's no lots available in that whole area that I know of. Bill Stark just tried to find a lot in this area, and he wanted to build another home, and he ended up clear over on T Highway because there's just no lots available. And the reason why is it's just a great neighborhood. And So I can see why they would want to try to turn a house into a bed and breakfast possibly, but it's a bad location for a bed and breakfast. It's not no visibility, and it's stuck back in a neighborhood, you know. So I can really see where they could have a problem trying to direct people there unless they have big pajama mama signs everywhere. So I just really have to say that with our little kids that walk up and down and play on that street night and day, and with the traffic that already drives too fast through there, and we already need speed bumps, but it's just when you have a business, and I know how that works too because I'm in the food business, and when you have to have supply trucks bring your food in for the people and guests you have stay there, that means more supply trucks and more traffic and more strangers in the neighborhood. It just gets to be a real quagmire everywhere you look. So I just hope that you'll consider turning this project down, mainly because it's just our neighborhood and we're trying to protect everything we got there. And there's some beautiful homes in that neighborhood. And it really doesn't look like a bed and breakfast to me. It looks like a home. But I don't know what it would look like after it become a bed and breakfast. So,
okay.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank
you very
much.
Appreciate that. Next person that wants to speak is Delisa DeLay. Okay, did you wish to speak?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, it's your turn.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, too, for hearing our presentation proposal. And I do appreciate the neighbors' concerns, because that would be my concern, too, because that was the attraction to the neighborhood, is that it was kind of a seclusive area, and I felt it had that Martha Stewart appeal, for a better cliche. My intention is not to make it a big commercial signage place, first of all, to address Mr. Moore's concern. I think most B&Bs are found on the website. My intention, like I think I made in the initial hearing, was that my intention is really to bring my retirees, my client base. I was trying to do it, obviously, in a legal sense, since I sell real estate in the community, as Mr. Moore does. And it really wasn't to go after a hotel type of environment. As far as respecting the neighborhood and the traffic and the children, I mean, I have three daughters myself. My last one's getting married May 1st. We've greeted and had people over to play with puppies that we just now are getting rid of. And I mean, we're very neighborhood friendly in that way. And
am I understanding that you live in the neighborhood?
I live in the house, yes.
In the house?
Yes.
Okay. But are you going to be involved in the operation?
Yes, the Moans and I. Yeah, the Moans and I are doing this jointly. I have a lease purchase and an LLC filed with them.
Okay.
And so we would be our home, and we would be the proprietors. We're not looking for any more than four rooms to rent out at any given time, so it's not a big commercial project in that sense. And actually, we're not looking to change the exterior other than fresh paint and more landscaping to enhance the neighborhood. And as far as the cars being parked on the road, I think one time we had one car, but honestly, the neighbors right across the street have had a couple of big birthday parties, and they've had cars parked all along the side. And we've had the camp ministry have extra cars parked during a special event. And the boys have been over in our driveway when they play disc golf. And, you know, we don't mind that. I mean, we really do feel we're trying to be a good neighbor. And we're in total compliance with Mr. Coxey's recommendations on expanding that parking. We wanted to do it anyway, so it makes sense, some of the drafts he's given us, to make sure we would never have any of our guest cars on that road except, you know, maybe one special event. But again, our agenda is not to have weddings or pool parties or anything like that. I mean, that's not really who we are. Mark and I are business people, and we really are looking for mature demographics to stay at our B&B, no children under 17. And we're not looking for billboard signs. I mean, we might have a tasteful sign if we can get it in harmony with the home, but we're not looking for pointer signs by any means. And I don't remember. I know Mr. Pingleton asked me last time to talk to Shane, and I don't think Shane's name was on that. And he's my neighbor that I think would be the most affected. And Shane, we talked about it, and he was okay with it. So, mm-hmm. Shane Grady. So I don't know if there's any other questions I could answer.
I want to say something.
Okay, and are you Mark?
Mark, Dillon? Yeah.
Okay.
Husband there. The house is, you know, already, how many bedrooms is it?
It's five, could be six.
Could be, and there's a whole room, could be more bedrooms. If the house was built for the kids, Smalley's kids, and so if someone bought that house, it would be a lot of teenagers, cars, friends, a lot more than just Delisa and I, and I think the occupancy in Branson is, I think it's 60% year-round, you know, full 100%. We're only going to have four rooms. So that's only 60%, whereas a family would buy the house, it'd be totally full. And kids, parties, you know, all that. And we're not having kids in the, you know, for the, you know, so forth. So I just want to mention that. So it's really less than what someone really did buy the house for, what it's meant for.
And we're not going to be open 7 days a week. We were going to be open Wednesday through, Sunday morning would be checkout. So we're going to have some downtime, too. So the downtime is just Mark and I.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, if I could take just a second mm-hmm. to refresh you guys' memory on this. And everything that I'm going to tell you, I've already gone over with these folks here. Our definition of bed and breakfast says it's a family home occupied as a permanent dwelling by the proprietor, which we discussed. And they mentioned to you, that contains no more than four guest rooms where lodging, with or without meals, is provided for compensation. And as you know, that is a subset of our special use, as we mentioned before. In bed and breakfast, it does not talk about signs. It doesn't, you know, say you can't have them, it doesn't say you can't have them. As on a regular home occupation, they'll tell you you can have a sign, but it can't exceed 2 foot by 4 foot. In the bed and breakfast, it does not mention that at all. So, just while this is fresh in your minds, if you choose to, however you choose to go on this, the sign would be an issue that you might want to address, either what you would tolerate or what you would not, or something to that effect. So, just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Appreciate that refresher. Any other comments for the delays?
I had a question for Eddie. Okay. On the bed and breakfast, do they have to have the fire lines, the sprinkler?
They have to be in compliance with the fire district, and he has different requirements once he comes out and looks at the structure. And in some places, he will allow an emergency ladder that can be lowered from the window and to get out. Some places, he does require a deck to be built and stairs. The handicapped parking space will be needed. I don't know. I imagine there will have to be at least one room in the house that's handicapped accessible, would be my guess, those kind of things like that. But he does have some requirements. It does vary depending on the size of the structure, some other things like that. So.
Okay, because I was trying to remember if that was a requirement for bed and breakfast that they had sprinkler systems set up.
At one time, they have done that. I don't know if they're still enforcing that or not, but that's... that would depend on the code that the fire
department. May I address that too? Because I spoke with him, and he just said that if it would be different if we weren't living in it, but the fact we're living in it and it's under the four rooms, if it goes into five bedrooms, then it goes under the lodging license and there's a lot more requirements, but if it's under four, you just have to have the detectors.
Okay. Let's close this public hearing and move on to the next one. And this is a request from Robert Wacob. Wacob, okay. And again, this is a special use permit, if I'm correct on that.
That is correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Coxey, if we can have the report.
This is our Division 3 staff report for Robert Wacob, dated March 8, 2010, case number 10-3. This is the public hearing for Robert Wacob. It's an outdoor building. Actually, it's a home. He's in the process of constructing in phases. At 236 Coronado Drive in the Oliver Township, Section 22, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, Robert Wacob, requests approval to operate an in-home occupation to manufacture flavorings and products known as Snow Pops. History is that he's approved for concept January 19, 2010. General description, the subject property is located on Lot 150 of Taneycomo Highlands Subdivision. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. We're going to show you that he actually owns a couple of lots in there, I believe. Review, the proposed site will consist of a 10 by 18 square foot frame building and the construction of the rest of the home at a later time. The project scored a minus 16 out of a possible 53, with policies receiving a negative score being roads, emergency water supply, waste disposal, use compatibility, building bulk and scale, buffering, and residential parking. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: A, utility easements and building line setbacks. B, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. C, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste material. Number four, Division 1 permit and certificate of conformance required before commencing business. And number five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire.
Okay,
we're out here. This is out off the T Highway in the Taneycomo Highlands. Let's go in a little closer, Dan, if we can there. In this area, there's a lot of mobile homes and things like that. These will be the properties in question or that we're considering tonight. What Mr. Wachob is doing is he's had this operation in Rockaway Beach, if I'm not mistaken. He's bought some property out here. He's building his house in phases. He's put up the first phase, and he can explain that to you, where he wants to have just the part of the building when it's totally completed. As you know, that this type of home occupation is not allowed to exceed 33% of the total structure. It's also not allowed to have more than one employee that's not a family member. It's not allowed to increase the traffic as far as retail sales, that things, kind of thing is concerned. It is not allowed to have a sign bigger than 2 foot by 4 foot, and then whatever other stipulations that you would want to put on that by any means, anything else, nothing. Again, just the Lot 151, Lot 150. That's kind of what we have for you.
Go back to your map right there again. That little inset.
This right here?
No.
That is another lot. I don't know if it's owned by somebody else.
Okay. But no property on it at all?
I believe there's an RV sitting there, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Walkup can tell you that for sure. Okay. But I believe there is an RV sitting there, if I'm not mistaken.
And have we received any architectural drawings at all on this project?
No, ma'am, we have not, other than just a site plan. I believe you do have that. Let me see if I have a copy of that here. Dan, do you?
Okay. Well, let's move on then.
Yeah.
So no video on this either?
No, ma'am, the video disc was not in the bag when we got over here tonight.
Okay.
So, consequently.
Okay, people that want to speak. Mr. Bob Schantz.
Okay, about.
Okay, introduce yourself, please.
I'm Bob Schantz.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thanks. I live over there in Taneycomo Highlands on Hillman Drive. About 17 years ago, I came to Branson one day from Nashville to look at a business project. Had no intentions of staying here. Came here about 4 o'clock one afternoon. About 11 o'clock the next morning, a man saw my license plate, said, Davidson County, Nashville, asked me where I live. I told him, he said, hey, I've got a place you'd probably like. I went out there and I liked it and I bought it. I bought a small cabin. So I was going to add on to the cabin and sell my place in Nashville. And just as I started in that process, here's Taneycomo Highlands, and it was, there's probably 100 or 120 lots in that area. They're 35 by 70. When I bought my place, you need 3 lots to build a home because I've got my own septic tank. So you had to have 35 by 70 times 3 so you can put a septic tank here and a well. But this is on they've got their own septic tank and their own water, so they can get these little 35 by 70 foot lots. Just about the time I was thinking of adding on, Taney Como Highlands comes up and they start bringing in what we call park models. Well, that upset me a little bit because I had a regular stick model home, was going to build on, was going to build a second home, which I did finally. I've got two homes side by side now. They're just probably $450,000 to $500,000 worth of the both of the homes. The people that bought the park model place or were going to install it started bringing them in, and we had a hearing here with planning and zoning. That was about 17 years ago. I know I drove up from Nashville one night, stayed at the home, came to a meeting here, and a man by the name of Robert Cox owned the property. And he was told at that time that he had to have park model homes. He could not have trailers or RVs. It upset him so much, he died that night of a heart attack. That night or the next night, he died. Because I called one of the neighbors up and I said, "What's going on?" I was back in Nashville. She said, "Oh, my God, that man died." Okay, there was supposed to be no RVs or whatever. Well, after he died, the property sat around for a while. They did put several park models. I don't know, there may be a dozen, 15 of them. And then after a while, his wife sold the property or made a deal with some other woman, and now there's trailers and RVs coming in there. If I would have known that there were trailers and RVs coming, I would not have built my second home. I would not have added on to my first home. And I don't know where the documents are. Maybe I've got some in the house. I've got boxes of, you know, I'm involved in a lot of things. I've got boxes and boxes on file. But there's not supposed to be any RVs or trailers. What this man has is an RV. And it's pretty old. He's apparently manufacturing his stuff in that RV. It's so old, he's got a blue tarp on the top because it's leaking. The little house that he built to manufacture whatever he built in, my chicken coop, I think is built better than that little place is. The water there, I've got a water purification system on my home. I've got a filter and all kind of things to purify it. And this man is going to manufacture stuff to sell at Rexplex and wants to sell them to the Boy Scouts to sell out of this little popsicle thing. I would not eat anything made from that water over there. And a lot of the other people, there's a couple here right now, a few ladies that live there. We have homes there. We don't want a business. And I know my street, there's a little hill going down to my home. This past winter, I was there for 12 days, couldn't get my car out. This is in the woods. There's everything around there. The man's got several dogs. I don't know how you manufacture stuff for human consumption. I don't think the health department would approve it. I just don't know. It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be any business. And what I'm feeling is that if we allow this, next thing you know, somebody else is going to have a little 35 by 70 foot place, bring a trailer in, and they'll have a whiskey go-go club and a whatever else we're going to have. These are homes, these are people who love the area, and that's what we want to keep it.
Can I please have you look at the map? Where is your property, and where are all of those little lots that you talked about with Taney?
Well, all of those.
All 35 by 75. Okay.
Okay, and then Mr. Shantz, where is your property from this property?
I'm on the lake. We'll probably have to get a...
Can't see.
Okay, that's
right.
Sorry. Okay, if this is Hillman, yes, I've got two homes.
You're right on the bluff.
Right. Okay, but I have to come through for all that.
Okay.
He's really right at the top of the red circle.
Dan, is there any way we can get it in between the sides?
Curse,
get it in between the sides.
It'd take me a while.
Okay.
And your concern then is?
Well, my main concern is there was supposed to be no RVs or trailers.
Right.
There are now.
Okay.
And apparently the documentation, I mean, a man died because of the news of hearing it. Now the documentation, I don't know where it's at. And I don't like the fact that there's park models, but they are nice. There's one lady here has a beautiful little park model house, flowers. It's
okay,
fixed
so
up nice.
People have built on those small lots.
On some of the lots, okay. Closer to Ladybug Lane. Yes, closer to Ladybug Lane. They had the people that originally had this concept had a pool. The pool has now been dry for I don't know how many years. There's a washer and dryer. I believe that's closed. Whoever has it now is trying to sell lots.
Okay.
And for this man to come in there with an RV with a blue tarpaulin on it, it looks awful, number one.
Are you familiar with what his project is and that he is intending to build a residential building?
If he's going to build a residential, it's going to be it'll be a park model house. It'll be a small house. I mean,
but
even that, we don't need a business there. That's not the place for a business making snow cones or flavoring syrup or popsicle. I've never seen it. He's got a cooler here. Must be some in there. It's little popsicle things that they sell at Rexplex, he told me.
Okay.
It's not the place to do that.
Okay. There's what?
Okay. Gosh. Isn't technology amazing? Okay, so all the little lots are right there to the east of your property.
Right. And those lots, I mean, Mr. Coxey would probably know, but they're probably owned by 70 or 80 different people. I mean, they're all over the United States.
That's one of the problems, and there were so many developments.
They all bought lots years ago.
Okay.
And they were able to do a lot of this because they do have their own...
separate ownership?
They have a wastewater treatment plant.
Which doesn't work good.
I'm not saying it works good.
It's at the bottom of the hill, and I smell it more times than one. Yes.
And I believe they're probably on a community well, would be my guess.
That is right. And that's another problem, which there was supposed to be only a certain amount of homes. Now there's two or three times as many as what was originally supposed to be on it, and it broke down a while ago.
Potentially you could have a structure on every one of these little lots.
Yeah.
Potentially,
yeah. Okay, Mr. Shenz, thank you very
much. You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Let's move to Phyllis Coleman.
Where is the property at compared to him?
He is on Coronado, I believe.
Right in here.
Okay.
Right in there.
And so Bob's house is...
Okay.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Phyllis Coleman.
Okay.
I live at 204 Hillman Drive. How does this thing work?
You just push the red button.
I am like right across from him.
Okay.
Here he is over in this area. I'm over here. Okay. I have 10 lots there that my house is on. And I'm with Bob on this, and we don't generally agree on things, but but as a general, I mean, they did. They just brought all these tiny little things in there. So now every 35 by 70, you know, you assumed when you bought the place that if you had to have a minimum of three lots, you know, but now it's like motorhomes, trailers, whatever's in there. They're not even homes at this point. They're just living in fifth wheels or whatever. And I don't have a problem with the guy trying to make a living. You know, I don't want to stop him from making a living. But I definitely, I mean, and I heard you say something about it being special use, because I definitely do not want it commercial. God only knows what we'll have in there then. We already have a mishmash of just... it's a mess. I don't know if any of you have been over there, but it's a mess. You know, it's just sickening. It's like, you know, I'd sell my house right now if any of you want to buy it. You know, I mean, I'm at that point, you know, and it's like our property value keeps going down because of what's allowed to be done around here anymore. It's just turned into a disaster over there. And like you said, their wastewater treatment plant, luckily, I mean, I'm on the lakeside, so the breeze comes from the lake, so I don't have to smell it. I mean, it's down the hill from me, but if I was over there, I'd have a problem. You know, it's like, I don't know who's in charge of that, but, you know, it's not maintained at all from what I can tell.
So you don't know, is there a property owners association?
No, there is not.
Or Taneycomo Acres?
No. No, it's
so
just...
So all individual owners?
Correct.
And they can do pretty much anything they want to
correct.
Do?
Correct. Okay. You know, they're supposed to be, you know, 25-foot, you know, buffer zone. It's like they're on top of each other. It's like, okay, now we've got our little 35-by-70 lot. We have our little home here. Now we're going to put a shed here. We're going to put this here. We're going to park in the road because we have nowhere else to go because we've taken up our whole little lot with everything we can find, you know, including the kitchen sink.
Yeah, 35 by 70 foot lot is not a very big
yeah.
lot.
Yeah, like okay. I said. So anyway, okay. that's like I said, I don't, you know.
And
you got
and
me there? There I am.
Which one?
You had me there a second ago, 204 Hillman.
Yeah,
there we
that's
are.
That's what I was wondering.
Okay.
Well, so anyway, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr.
There's another woman who would like to sign up to speak.
Okay. Let me go on with this. Mr. Wachob, is that right?
Yes.
I have no objection for any others who want to comment.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
She needs to sign the list.
Okay. The first thing I'd like to do, by the way, my name is Robert Wachob. I am the owner and sole proprietor of Originals Marketing, which is a small company that I've had for 18 years and operated in different places. I would like to point to the correct lots as I know them so that everybody would understand. The blue lines were a little misleading, but if we could get that one where the blue lines were lots 150 and 151, I would like to correct a little. There we go. Now let's see if I can know how to turn this thing on.
Just push that red button there.
Okay.
And you just have to push it and hold it.
There we go. Oh, push it and hold. Okay, now you'll notice that from there to there is 145 feet. My lot, 150, goes from there to there and up. I'm a little shaky, aren't I? And then 151 is from here straight over here. So I have basically kind of like a square that's 70 feet by 70 feet right in there.
So those lines do not represent your property?
That's correct.
Okay. This yeah. property is currently owned by, I guess, the developer, whoever owns this property now. So when you brought that property up, that's why I bring
okay.
these lines like that.
The existing structure, now the RV is parked a little angle because it was easy to back in right there, kind of a maybe a 30-degree angle up. And the little structure is properly set plus a foot or two. I think it's 7 foot or 9 foot from this one and 11 foot from the back so that there would be more than enough so that there wouldn't be any question about proper setback. And I wanted to say, believe me, I do not intend to live out of my RV very much longer. In order to complete the structure, which I hope will go forward in April to finish the home, which is a living room, dining room, bedroom, I'll have to pull the RV forward in order to build the structure. So that it's a temporary, my RV is a temporary living arrangement for me while I'm building the home. And so that's pertaining to the home. I wanted to find out what the neighbors' reactions were. I have 10 signatures here, 11. Actually, only two of them are husband and wife, the rest of them one person per family. That have no objections to the business as I have described. And I went door to door saying almost the same as what I'm going to say now. I'm Robert Wachob. I have a small business that I do in my home. Some people make quilts or armbands. I make these, and then I opened a cooler and I showed them the frozen confection that I make. I told them that I mix water, sugar, and flavor, that there's no noise, no hazardous chemicals, no traffic because I do all delivery. And I also said to some of them that if I hadn't told them, nobody would know that I'm doing it because it's just very quiet and unobtrusive.
A couple of questions
oh, sure.
for you, Mr. Wachob.
Okay.
Do we have a site plan on the lot?
I did a little thing on a graph paper.
Okay.
That should have...
Let me have those.
That will be in our
things.
Division 2 folder also,
okay.
which I do not have with me tonight.
Okay.
And basically, as it looks right now, this is the lot.
But that is the lot.
It can't be. This is a 16 by 10 foot. So we really don't have a site plan?
In the Division 2 folder, there is one, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It's required to have a drawing.
Is it with the video disc?
No,
I'll
have to ask Dan.
Okay. And then my other question, Mr. Walker, is that will you continue to build the residence if we deny the special use permit?
Well, the residence is going up regardless. I already have the one-year building permit. And this is a combination bathroom laundry area on half of it, and the other half is the snow pop room.
Okay. So you don't have dimensions for the whole residence or anything?
25 by 33. Okay. It'll be, instead of 10 by 18, it'll be 25 by 33.
And you can get setback requirements and all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
It's lot 75 by 75.
But this is a permanent residence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, stick built, if you want to put it that way.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments from you?
The water that you use for making these? Where do you get that from, or is it?
It is the on-site water, which, as I understand, she has to add chemicals and have it tested each month. So it's proper county supplied. I guess you call it a private water supply.
But it's
same thing for
month.
The sewage.
That'll be a DST water distribution system. It does have requirements from DNR as to whether or not it is in compliance with DNR. I could not tell you that right
okay.
now. But it does require monthly testing, and then every 6 months a battery of tests that's a little more extensive.
Okay.
But again, as far as their current compliance, I do not know.
And then would the health department deal with this?
Mr. Walker does have to have a statement from the health department. In his last location, of course, he did have his certificate, and he does understand that he does have to be in compliance with the Forest Bureau Water Health.
Too. Just like all of our...
Just.
Okay.
Yeah, a little update on that. Craig came over today for a second inspection and passed. His computer wasn't working, so he didn't have a printout yet.
Okay.
So that is
so
passed.
You're currently doing production of the snow cones on the property?
Yes, for samples, and I have one new account that Craig said, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, what facility are you using?
Actually, I'm using the facility now. It is finished and inspected.
So part of it is built.
Right.
Yes. Actually, the pop room is finished and health inspected now.
Do we have a picture of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they're right over here.
I have a video. It's just not here with me.
It's not
with the site plan.
But if you would like, we can send Dan to go get that video so you can see it before you vote.
Okay.
If you like.
Well, Mr. Walker, okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
I don't know.
Let's move on to, we still have one more person that wants to speak, Jackie Dinley.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Dinley, if you'll come forward, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jackie Dinley, and I live at 121 Monarch Lane. And my property butts from Monarch Lane over to Coronado. I'm on both roads. I have four lots. When we bought there, my house is a stick-built house. It's not a park model. The property on our road has improved, I would say, in the last year. It's been pretty bad before that. And now Judy let these RVs come in. And nobody knew about this.
And Judy is?
She's the one that's supposed to own this place.
The land that we're talking about.
All this land.
Tonight.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
She's the one selling the lots.
Okay.
She said that it originally was supposed to be a place for RVs, but we did not know this. When I bought the house, I did not know this. And then, when all these RVs came in, and then this place came in, and we just got back from Alabama, so I didn't see this until we got back. And then when I see this tarp over an RV and a little shed like this built on sticks, and then tarps all around it keeping stuff dry and stuff piled all underneath it, I'm sorry, I know maybe the man has just moved here and is doing this, I don't know. But I do not want anything commercial down there at all. This has to be residential the way it is. It's just going down the tube, and we just can't have it. It just makes your property value go down. people come out there and they wonder what the heck you got. And that's my objection. Okay. I don't want a commercial.
Okay, Ms. Finley, thank you. That concludes, unless anybody has any questions for anybody.
I have a question for Eddie.
Okay.
The blue line stuff up there, do you know if those are we just have the wrong ones marked?
No, what I'm saying, I believe this lady that was just mentioned operates under the name of Taney Highlands Development or something like that. And so Mr. Wachup has purchased part of this, because she owns it all, whenever you bring it up, it comes up like this. So
there really are lot lines?
No, not all here. He owns here.
Okay. Well, I don't think he even owns all the way to that northeast. I think it's the two.
Three lots.
It's 70 by 70.
Two lots. He's 70 by 70. 70 so by 70 feet would be right here.
Okay.
Yes.
So but here. My question to you is, at least looking at that, are those... Is that one, that north blue lot, it looks like one lot, that backwards Oklahoma looking thing?
Anytime.
That.
Wait, I'm sorry.
That looks like one lot now to me.
Yes, sir.
So if he's going to buy part of that one lot, then is he splitting that?
Now, what happens is, Mr. Pingleton, anytime it's a contiguous owner,
then you're just taking the lot lines out of it.
They just show the outside lines.
So the lots are the lots there.
Right. This okay. This would be split just like this down here.
Okay.
I mean, if you go in and look at it, this would be a lot, 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 and that would be a lot.
It just doesn't show it that way when it's continuous.
Because it's one owner and they're contiguous.
Okay.
So what he actually owns is 70 by 70. Okay. Right there.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. President.
There were some comments made that it was a requirement to have a minimum of three lots to build something here.
That would be a requirement of either the developer or
not something that's enforceable.
No, what we, as you know, there's all over Taney County, there's little lots like this platted in different places, they're treated basically as pre-existing non-conforming, not something we would create today, but if they can meet the requirements of the sewer district as far as well and septic, if you had to put your own well and septic in here, then no, a lot of these would not be buildable. Because it does have its own treatment plant and its own community well, you don't have to worry about the proximity of those lines for the well and the sewer. And so, consequently, they can get by with some other things there because they've turned this into, a neighborhood that has its own treatment plant. Similar to our deal now, if we were going to create a lot on septic, we would say you have to have 2 acres. But if you put in a treatment plant, you can go down to as small as 8,000 square feet, with the proper road frontage and everything. Now, if you drive out there now, this will state on down by the clubhouse down here. It says Taney Como RV Estates. There is a sign up there that says that. However, in Taney County, a single-family residential structure is compatible in any area, so if they can meet the requirements of it, we would allow it to be built there. If they can meet the setbacks, sewer requirements, things like that, it can be built there.
But because it's previously platted this way, it doesn't have to fall under today's guidelines for minimum lot size?
What about all of our setbacks, though?
It is meeting all setbacks. That's what he was just telling you, that what he's put on here right now is 11 feet from the back. Our requirement is 10. It's 7 feet from the side, 25 feet from the front. He is aware of that, and I believe the site diagram that he's given you for his Division 1 permit to build a residential structure does meet those requirements.
Okay. So, and I know we're talking about that and really not the other stuff, but I do have a question on that. If there are others out there that aren't meeting those setbacks,
depending
whether they're on
wheels
built, or
when
not.
When they were put in, we have to take it on an individual basis and everything.
I'm just curious. I mean,
I'm sure there probably are some. I know that a lot of times you'll see your park models come in, then people will begin to put decks and add-on rooms and stuff like that, and they don't a lot of times watch for their setbacks. So I'm sure I could probably go out there and find that situation. I would then need to find out when it was built, if it was built before those rules and regulations went into place, and if it even has a permit.
Right. So there are some situations that might be under county, but then there's also some where they might need to pursue it civilly.
Yes.
Right? So there might be both situations out there.
If there's any kind of rules and regulations out there as far as the homeowner association or anything like that that exists, and these people would like to pursue that, it is something they could do. I don't know that there's anything active. It is something that we always ask up front. Are there any rules and regulations in this area? You know, doesn't.
I mean, that part of it's really for them.
But that is for
them to do civilly. Yes. Our part is if they're breaking county code that where they weren't grandfathered in or those type of things to determine that. Right. That's kind of where that line is drawn. Okay.
I'm going to take the privilege of adjourning the public hearing part of our meeting.
Make one more statement, if I could.
Yes, Mr. Coxey.
As you know, we may not like what anything's built out of, but again, we don't govern that at all.
Right.
If we think it's not sufficiently, if it's spindly or if it's built out of tar paper and everything, that's fine. That's not our concern. So I just want to bring that to your attention.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're adjourning the public hearing part of our meeting and reconvening again for the regular meeting for the final votes. Okay, so if you will once again read the procedures for the final votes.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division 3 application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing, and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the commission. There are no sign-up sheets for this meeting, as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of the commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay, thank you. Let's go into the final vote section. First issue under consideration is the Branson Bank Warehouse. And we do have the representatives for that project here. Discussion from the members of the commission.
I may have asked this question before. Does it meet MoDOT requirements for line of sight issues as for driveway?
I believe use? MoDOT has been out, if I'm not mistaken, and they and every yes, this
all
does.
Has been stamped approved.
Okay.
Yeah, you may want to come up to the front pew.
I think I provided that information that's in your file.
Right. Should it be noted that if this property does sell, that they would have to come back to us before they could put anything in there, so we'd know what's going in there?
It's a warehouse.
Generally, if it's
a
same or lesser density use, then we would say, no, it would not have to come before you. If it is a higher density use, let's say, for instance, a private school decided to go in there, you might want to hear that. We would consider that a higher density use and everything like that. So we might should make it known to this representative that in the event that it was a higher density type use, that they would probably have to come back before this board to ask. But if they came into warehouse carpet, warehouse stone, brick, building materials, things like that, we probably would not.
Okay, any other questions for the representative? Yes, or for
it's
us?
Probably for Eddie. Okay. Is this a structure that shouldn't exist?
This structure was not permitted to be built.
Okay.
This structure does not have any sewer or water to it, as far as I know. So it is a structure, yes, that should not have been built without a permit, and then secondly, should not have ever been inhabited for due to lack of sewer or water.
But we're not approving the sewer or water part. We're just talking about the warehouse itself.
Yes, sir. What they're asking for is for you to give the proper approval for this project so that they can get the permit making this building legal, so that they can go ahead and put in their sewer system and everything like that. So they're asking to say, Can this project be approved for the warehouse that it was, because none of the documentation was in place?
How does something like that happen?
I mean who enforces and makes sure that it gets done?
These are the kind of things that we try to catch, and as I mentioned before, I did go out on site there late 2006 or 2007 and posted when they were filling with the garage there, and then was informed, because it was the garage was already an existing structure, that, they could remodel it, do different things like that. And at that point in time, there was not a business in there. In the meantime, the annexation went on over in there, and it was our opinion at that particular time, because we didn't have an updated map, that this piece of property had been annexed also. And so it did go up, and it just, it's one of those things that just kind of fell through the crack.
Now, did the office or showroom that they had, that little building that was 600 square feet, did that have any water or sewer in that building? Because that was already
I do not believe there is any water or sewer on the property at all.
Okay, so
no,
that was just a little garage shed. They kept lawnmowers and stuff like that in it.
That was an existing shed there before.
Okay.
And that's why when I tagged it and started working on it.
Take leftover rock and just rock the thing.
Right. and when I tagged it originally, they told me they were just fixing up that shed, which we don't require a permit for.
Okay.
Is it more than 100 square feet?
It is more than 100 square feet. But it was already existing.
That
little building was, yes. And then they begin to fix up the outside. As long as, it's existing and they're doing that, we wouldn't require a permit.
Now, I am assuming, and I know it's true, that this was advertised and this is a public hearing, so those people that represent the neighborhood, he was the only one that showed up?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we...
And I think that was probably even true last week.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, every time I've been here, there's not been any other representatives. So.
Okay, any further discussion? Again, one of those properties that is now on the radar screen, trying to get it in compliance with county code. So is there a motion from the members of the commission?
I'd like a motion to approve.
Okay, Mr. Cummings has made a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Mr.
Could I make an amendment? Is that possible at this point in time?
Yes.
Amend it? Correct me if I'm wrong, Eddie, or help me rephrase this, see if I can reach my goal. Is it possible that we make it part of the decision of record to indicate that water and sewer requirements must be met? I mean, we're sort of putting the cart before the horse here.
Thing
on there? Those are givens.
It is that they have to come into compliance with the before they can get a certificate of conformance from us.
Okay.
They do have to come into compliance with the fire sewer water district.
Okay.
And everything. So that's just part of your standard decision of record there. Before the building will be inhabited again, it is required that it has that now. The only way I'm going to know that is if I drive by that building on a regular basis. And I do go by there some, but that's, again, if we're not out in the field seeing things happen, then, that's how they fall through the crack, unless a neighbor says something about it.
Now, you mentioned something earlier, and I know we're in the amendment part of this. So
well, but are you withdrawing your amendment?
I withdraw.
Okay.
But I would like to add, okay. Then. And it might be in the decision of record to include density change in any way if that's not given.
Right. No, and that would be that would probably be a good thing.
I would rather them come back before us. I'm okay with that.
Right.
But they would still have to come back before us in the decision of record for any density change or use change.
Okay, so, Benita, do we have the motion, and would you accept
okay with that amendment?
The amendment? Okay.
Can I get a clarification of what you're saying? I mean, we're asking for it. We're asking for a warehouse use. That's it.
And that's it.
Okay.
That's what we're
I just want to make sure.
For you, but
what he's saying
you have a buyer, they would have to come back before us if there's a density change or a change of use. Of that warehouse,
it wouldn't be you, but
it would be the buyer.
But if I came to you and said I'm going to buy this and I'm going to put me a private school and a car lot down there, you can say, well, you can buy that, but you're going to need to go before that board.
Right, and that's typical zoning requirements anyway. So I just wanted to make sure there wasn't specific for this property in nature.
With that included.
Now, if they want to put in just storing whatever.
It's a warehouse. We can sell it as a warehouse.
They're required to have a bathroom in there, the sewer and the water?
Yes.
That is a requirement, so.
Because they've got an office on site, yes, sir.
Okay.
And that's what started this whole thing. We wanted to go out and complete the project, and that's why we found out about the police.
Got it. We have a motion on the floor. Want to make sure, Mr. Cummings, you are agreeing to what Mr. Bronner has said. And the second, can we have specifically what the motion is as interpreted by Benita?
Yeah. Before I read the motion, I want to be clear that Mr. Preston withdrew
his
addition.
Uh-huh.
I'll take that out. The addition to the decision of record that before any density change or change of use must appear, the applicant must appear before the Planning Commission.
Okay. And the original motion?
To approve based upon the decision of record with the addition of.
Okay. Question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Abstained.
Okay. Let's move on then. Thank you. Congratulations, I guess. Okay.
It's been a long road.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We're looking at the Moen project here, the bed and breakfast. I bet this one is not quite so simple. Okay.
That was a simple one?
Okay, discussion from the members of the commission.
How is this different from the main property down in Poverty Point? Would this be?
Probably the limitation of rooms on site operation. It's not being used by a vacation rental by owner kind of thing. It's designated a bed and breakfast.
You did have that project down there come to you as a bed and breakfast. At that particular time, there was not going to be the proprietor living on site.
They were going to employ someone who was make it a bed and breakfast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Density in that neighborhood was a little higher than this neighborhood as far as size of lots and everything. If you'll recall, most of these homes seem to be sitting on somehow acre and a half instead of 2 acres, but nevertheless, it appears to be an acre and a half or more that these homes are sitting on.
Well, those lots were there before.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I didn't create them. So.
Also, with
way before they were supposed to be 2 acres.
With two pieces for sale across the street, if we okay something like this, what's to say those two pieces couldn't come before us and do the same?
They can do it anytime, whether we okay it or not.
Sure. I'm just saying, provided there was a precedent setting or anything like that. So we pick and choose.
It's just one of the facts of life for bed and breakfast in a tourism community.
As part of our process, we ask that we send out notification to anyone that lives within 600 feet, I believe.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
I think we do that to get feedback from the affected owners of that area, correct?
That is correct.
We have feedback today from 7 out of 10 owners that have a certain feeling about it. And if we don't take those feelings into consideration, then why do we go through that process? Just the comment.
That's not directed to me.
Just a comment.
No, that's not directed to me.
I'm waiting for your answer.
And I don't disagree with you, but at all. But that is to inform us of things we may not know about, and it shouldn't affect our decision.
Say that again. I didn't hear what you said, Sean.
I said it's to inform us of things that we may not know about or be familiar with in the neighborhood. We have to take that into account with everything else when we make our decision.
Okay.
Just because the majority doesn't rule. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
As far as, because sometimes it's a good decision one way or the other. I'm not saying good or bad about it. Just for all of the decisions we make, not just this one.
You have made decisions based on the character of the neighborhood before. And of course, that's your decision to make. This is the least obtrusive type of permit that you could do, I think, in as far as it being special use and not allowed to alter the basic structure or anything like that from what appears in the neighborhood. It does come with some increased traffic and some increased people in the neighborhood that don't necessarily live there that will be curious and want to look around and stuff like that because that's what they do. And that was a concern for you down in the previous area that Mr. Bronner mentioned. So, and if another one comes to you, then at that particular time you have to look at it and decide. You know, this neighborhood has got what it can sustain, or no, it doesn't, or something to that effect, or But that's what your decision is. Does this alter this in a way that is not acceptable?
You had concerns with parking and yes, grinder pump, I believe.
Yes, sir.
You said discussions were had as to how to accommodate those concerns. What were those discussions?
I informed the applicants that my concern was with parking the cars. Originally wanted to use the driveway and park the cars on there, that if I happened to be the first one that got there and parked, and then the rest of the place fills up and I want to go somewhere, everybody's got to come out. If I happen to be there and everybody's there and I'm having a heart attack, the ambulance can't get to me. Some different things like that. So there needs to be minimum county standards as far as access and parking. The sewer district was the one that came to us and said, we just don't believe that the grinder pumps there are adequate to handle anything like that. True, this house could be bought by somebody with 8 or 9 kids, and that would go way up, and they'd probably have to put in another grinder pump still. But we did not solicit that information from the sewer district. They did come to us and ask us to present that to you.
The picture's up behind you. How would you accommodate the parking scenarios with the footprint of the house the way that it is?
Well, back in this area, you can come on down the driveway and then you can park over here. I mean, there's different things they can do. They could work something out here. I think for the beauty of the neighborhood, they would prefer to come back into this area and push back a little bit. I believe that's what they mentioned, back into here to actually come in and park. We're looking at two of the parking places for the residents of the home will be in the actual garage. They have 4 bedrooms that they would be renting out, and it says 1 per, so they'd be looking at another 4. I think we told you a total of 7, if I'm not that correct, 7 spaces, 2 of those being in here, and then the rest of them could be pushed back here. There's just got to be enough of an access lane to get in and out. So wherever they push the parking to, and then depending on if they do it parallel or if they do it 9 degrees or 60 degrees and everything like that, there's different access standards concerned with that. But somewhere down the line here, they would need to create enough parking for, and not to say they couldn't put something in this here. This may be wide enough here. When you get down here, it's not wide enough to park there and then have your access, is what we're saying. So, I would hate to see it go up front here, but not to say you couldn't put a circle drive in there and park a car or 2 on a circle drive. So there's a lot of things that could be done.
Okay. Thank you.
Before the special use was approved, but it has to be approved by you. You have to look at the parking and make sure it's done before they have to use this to go ahead on.
Right. They can, if you would choose to approve that, they can sign their decision of record, and then they would need a certificate of performance from us, and which we would issue at the time that the standards set forth in here. If you come to them and say, we want a fence here, we want a fence here, we want your parking back here, or you can put some here and some back here, whatever special things that you might impose upon that, which you have the right to do, we would then go in and say, here's what they said, you've met all these requirements. You've also, the sewer department's okay with what you've got going on here and everything like that. And at this particular time, we'll issue you a certificate of conformance, and you're free to operate this bed and breakfast until you would either violate that or have to administratively revoke your permit, or you would sell it and move off or something like that. At this particular time, too, you know, if you're going to approve that and you don't mind them having a sign in the front yard, something like that, you would need to stipulate what size, because it's not mentioned. It just says it doesn't alter the nature of the residential structure.
Okay. Further discussion? Anybody ready to make a motion?
Could you bust that out to the bigger? And yeah, that'll be fine. And I really have a couple questions. I don't know, maybe for Terry. I don't know. Is that okay if I ask?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind, Terry? The Canicut property that's south of there, you know, the big, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, don't go out there. Yeah, that's fine. You can leave it there.
The one up.
That, yeah, right there. And then where Rex Grady's house was, that's, what is that now?
That's Kids Across America on 3rd.
Okay.
So that's a nonprofit ministry that, and so their land butts up to Smalley's land.
Right. And then on the back of.
And then Shane Grady's
lot
is basically this square here.
Okay. And then Dulos to the north.
Yeah.
So and then Canicut to the south.
Dulos is here, and they have 22 acres.
Right. And then, of course, all the residential right across the street.
Right. Yeah, so residential starts with...
Right past the field there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure that I wasn't missing something. I thought, I mean, I should know the neighborhood pretty well. I used to live out there, but I don't... I just want to make sure that I knew some of that had changed since then.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to clarify, I wasn't necessarily talking about this particular project. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, you know, we've had tons of people come in that were for something that just didn't fit right and vice versa.
Sure.
So, I mean, take all their stuff into consideration, but mm-hmm. it still didn't make sense one way or the other.
I would assume that part of their bed and breakfast market might very well be the Canicut Dulos audience.
Well...
Do you sure. Terry, do you know how many cabins are at Dulos at their ministry? Do you have an idea how many people, you know, how? Because I've been out there a couple times to talk to Joey Stables. I wish he was here because he could answer a lot of questions in regards to this.
They have two homes, a girl's home and a boy's home. And then they have...
There's a lot of different little buildings there, so I would...
Well, they have a large new office now.
Yeah.
The house is a kitchen and all that. And... But for the housing for the kids in the program, they have a girl's home and a boy's home. And then they have a couple of really small cabins that are Marion College for leadership. There's like two of those. And then the rest are their school. They have some teachers that all the kids in the program stay on site. So the majority of their staff and the people who are there stay on site all day.
Okay.
And then their leadership drives in parks and moves.
Do you have an idea of how many students would be there kind of at a time, like if it was in the summertime?
Yeah, I believe it's 25 to 30.
Okay, yeah. Students, okay.
15 boys, 15 girls, some.
Okay. Because I was thinking it was at least that amount, if not a little more, but because of the size of the buildings there.
Okay.
I mean, when we look at these residential, you know, special use permits or businesses, at least for me, and I can only speak for me, you want them to appear to be, you don't want to change the look of the neighborhood. But that is a little bit different neighborhood than some. I mean, I lived out there. There are a lot of people that walk out there that weren't my neighbors. You know? Because it's a great place, it's a beautiful place. I don't know where they were from, if they were the day they dropped their kids off at Kanakuk, or, you know, I really don't know, to be honest with you.
I had a question for Ed, because this was a special use, and she's a real estate agent. If she was to make the decision that she wanted to sell that kind of like an LLC, or maybe sell a partnership in that and become an LLC but still have part ownership in that, would that special use still continue, or if other owners were taken on, would that special use be lost, even though she'd still own part of it?
Code book just states that it's particular to the applicant.
Okay.
And to the property.
So if she owns any part of the property with an LLC,
if any of that changes, then it should go away. Now, would you ever know that?
Okay, so you're saying that if she was to sell it as an LLC, let's say, but keep part of it, where she was still, her name was still on
the definition says that the proprietary owner needs to live on site.
Okay.
So if she's a partial owner, she's an owner.
And she's still living on site. Okay.
I mean, yeah, you can do a lot of funny things, as you know.
So it still could be used that way.
The special permit goes with her because she's asking for it.
Yes.
As long
so
as
she would have to be
part
of
the property and is on property, then it's still in force.
You know, that's really a question that I don't know that I'm qualified to answer. I'll just say for you, it is particular to the applicant and to the property.
Okay. Well.
And I suppose if you could fight it either way, if any part of that changed, it would be null and void.
Okay.
Or, you know, as long as she stayed
in Marshall House that was on Lakeshore Drive, if it were sold, they'd have to come back, even if they wanted a bed and breakfast, to do the same.
Right.
Because the ownership changed.
That is correct.
Okay, would appreciate a motion one way or the other so we can either vote it up or vote it down. There are many things left on our agenda tonight.
Make a motion to deny.
Okay. Mr. Preston has made a motion to deny. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Mr. Bronner has seconded. Further discussion? Okay. The question then is, all those in favor of voting down the project as presented, a bed and breakfast special use project, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Petition denied. Okay, moving on then to Mr. Wachup. I'm sorry. Make sure that Eddie gets those for the record. Okay, here we go. Another tricky one. Discussion?
Well, just some of the things that we've already talked about I want to bring up again. I mean, there obviously are some issues that may be out there. I mean, as far as the type of buildings and things that are out there, but at least the way I understand it, RVs, park models, whether they're stick-built, trailers, that type of thing, at least where we are concerned county-wide, on the county side, is that isn't an issue for us, what they're built out of in this particular case.
Sure.
There aren't building codes in Taney County, Missouri.
That is correct.
So I'm not saying that's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm just saying that's the facts. So from that standpoint, that's not an issue that we take up here tonight. Right?
Yeah, yes, sir. We do have, if I might just for a second here, we do have rules and regulations for setting up an RV park. And we do have rules and regulations for setting up a mobile home park.
Right.
And everything. But if the requirements can be met, a site-built home can be put anywhere, and it can be built out of whatever.
Okay. So if this place, and obviously with the size of these lots, this was before.
Sure. We would not create these lots today.
Right. So would those type of regulations in effect then as to set up an RV park or a mobile home park?
If I could hear that one more time, sir.
You just said that we do have regulations, which I know we do, for an RV park and setting up a mobile home park or a trailer park.
Yes, sir.
Today. If obviously, these lots are too small for right. those times when we had those regulations in place.
If we were setting up an RV or a mobile home park now, the lots would not be transferred for whole ownership.
Right.
So
that is not a setup that was set up
that,
for...
That is not...
That was before that, that all that
yes,
time.
Yes, sir.
Grandfathered in.
Yes, sir.
So from, again, back from a standpoint of what is there on the lots, on each and every lot, good or bad, that is not an issue we deal with tonight. I just want to... We got enough correct. To think about
if,
that.
Regardless
about
of the neighborhood, okay. if it's a brand new planted neighborhood and they didn't have any requirements against it, I could pull a park model home in and set it there, and that's considered a house on that lot.
As long as they meet whatever setbacks they have to meet.
Yes,
if those are issues that are out there, then that's something that we deal with regardless of whether it's
yes, sir.
Grandfathered in lot-wise or whatever, because they still have to meet setbacks.
They still meet setbacks, sewer requirements, those kind of things like that.
And this particular one we're looking at meets the setbacks.
As drawn for us, yes, sir, it does.
Okay, and I mean, he has room to do that, and if he does what he says he's going to do, which I'm certain if it passes, we'll make sure he does.
According to his diagram submitted to us for a Division I permit to build a residential structure.
Okay.
He meets setbacks, yes, sir.
Okay.
And he does have sewer proof.
All right, and I've got some more questions for him, but you guys may have some questions for Eddie. I just wanted to clear all that out to make sure that
okay.
I understood what you were saying.
Okay, any other questions?
If he was not choosing to do this particular business in this house, we would still let him build a home there, if that helps you.
Yeah, it does.
But okay. The issue is in-home occupations.
That is correct.
In the, and it's different from a special use. It's in-home occupation.
It is a home occupation. Is a subset of special use.
Okay.
And it does have its own description for home okay. occupation in there. And one of the requirements is that it cannot take up more than 33% of the space. So the little building he's got built now is not sufficient because he would be using more than 33%
right.
of the space. And so as the rest of the house is built, then it will only take up 22%.
And I think he said what the home is 33 by 25?
Right. This takes up 22% of the space.
Okay. Once the home is done.
Once the home is done, yes, sir.
So until the home's done, he really shouldn't be operating out of that at all because he's out of compliance, assuming it would pass.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he needs to bring that in now. So.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I've got a couple questions for Mr.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah. And it's just to refresh my memory, but these guys may all remember, but no deliveries, I mean, no customers coming to your door at all.
That's correct. Deliveries
and,
only.
And what are you talking like a semi-truck that
oh,
you're
no.
taking deliveries no, to? What is the vehicle that you would use?
Okay, yeah, the back seat of my car.
The back seat of your car.
I spread blankets
over the car
over
you
there.
Already have.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
it consists of
retail business
three to 300 to 400 units to the Recplex is my largest delivery, and I okay. can do that in the back seat.
So no retail business.
Of that's correct. Time. Yeah, no.
Okay. That's the only question I have.
Okay.
I did
okay.
want to ask: are you going to have any kind of signage up? Because no. he's allowed to have a small sign, like a
and
two.
The largest sign he could have would be 2 foot by 4 foot. Yes, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. There's no need.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve this as presented.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Did that we approve this as an in-home occupation / special use permit. Okay.
Question? All those in favor of approving this proposal, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 3-2. Okay.
I'm going to do it by hand.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if she got it all.
Two against.
Uh-huh.
And the two against were Frank.
Right. Okay, so that motion has been approved.
And the chairman
does not vote. Okay. Let's move on then to the concept part of our meeting tonight then. Okay? Bee Creek Storage.
While the representative is coming to you, I'll try to refresh your memory real quick. This is a request for, I believe, two buildings. One building to have 10 by 10 units and 4 5 by 10 units, and then the second building to have 20 10 by 10s and 8 5 by 10 buildings. Dan has it up here. This is off of Bee Creek. Go ahead and bring it up a little later, Dan. There's this home here, but they're actually going to put this into this area here. And is that right? Right in this area?
Yes.
And of course, you know, we're going to need to work on some access and stuff like this, but it's just a mini storage area. It was two buildings, was that correct?
Possibly three.
Yeah, they're going to need to know that for sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's three on here.
Yeah.
I was reading from here, and I was thinking it was... So this is phase one, this will be phase two?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's asking for three.
Yes.
And I misspoke here. I think I read you the kind of the amount of units. I think I'm correct on 10 by 10s, 4 5 by 10s in phase one, and then 20 10 by 10 and 8 5 by 10s in phase two. And these two out here. So.
We
discussed with him last time. Did we see this? Well, you haven't seen this. I discussed with him. Okay, about the probability of some kind of a buffering for this residence, and possibly, I think there's one here and everything, but, you know, we have gone over buffering and some other things like that, making sure that that this access is going to be acceptable.
Well, that whole track would, that track number two would all become commercial, correct? In this particular request?
There was something.
It's actually all one lot.
It all shows to be one.
Okay.
Yeah, this
so,
is drawn like
I'm sorry. So track two and track one would all become commercial with this request. That's what I'm asking. And you know why I'm asking, I think.
Is that not the road drawing or am
I think that is the center line for the road. But they do have a list of track one and track two, but the county doesn't show it that way.
So we're looking at that as a whole track that, what, whatever, 1.7
yeah, bring up that other over
70 acres.
So this is how we're looking. It's 1.69 acres. It is, it does have central sewer for the Bee Creek sewer system in there.
Yes.
Now, we did also discuss, I don't know if this house is on the sewer system yet or not, but that would probably be a requirement. It's not that it be hooked into the sewer system before. Now, what he's doing out here as far as the storage does not create water or sewer or anything like that. It's maybe electricity was all, if I'm not mistaken.
It's, true, right?
It's been a long time. But this won't generate much sewage or wastewater of any type because it's just not going to be there. There's not going to be any water anything brought into this. However, we are putting a business now on 1.69 acres that is, you know, currently, if we were creating this lot today, it would be non-compliant. Because it's not 2 acres if it's on septic now. So that would be something you'd want to consider.
The property ownership is whose? Is the house different from the other property where the units are going to go?
No, it's the same. It's the same owner, same lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. My name's John Padgett.
Okay, and you're the owner of
yes.
the property then. Okay.
Well,
and
Jackson Road, there, sir, is the property.
Yeah, this is probably the center line of the road, although they do show.
So
this.
There, but the picture doesn't look like a road.
No, that's just
right,
the
driveway.
Track one, track two.
Yeah, it does show track one, track two, and it does have degrees and bearings. I don't think it's filed like that with the county.
Is this an approved plat like it is right now?
I do not believe this is filed like this with the county recorder, no, sir.
Okay.
I don't know that, but I will check that out.
Well, because won't that make a difference on the, I mean, if it ends up being one track instead of two, and it gets approved, then doesn't that also affect the home?
Does it also, sir?
Affect the home? As far, I mean, it's now
at the very least, the home is going, would be adjoining a commercial area, so you would have to have your buffering or whatever.
The home is on the same lot. I'm not talking about the other home.
Oh, you said if it's two different tracks. If it's
no, actually, I said if it's one track.
Okay. If it's one track, yes, there is an issue here with the house. You know, that's something you guys would have to decide if you can allow this or not, or does he need to split it like this?
It's on one track. It's not.
Well, I know that that may cause an issue if it's on one track.
And that issue being that taxes?
Yeah, that would definitely that would be one. Sure. Because that home would become on a commercial lot.
Uh-huh. What's the primary access point, Bee Creek?
Yes, sir. It's this 20-foot right here. It's the driveway for the house is what it is.
Okay.
Definitely probably have to be something done there for business to come in. I believe you have different requirements for commercial access.
A little bit wider.
And then our service.
I see no reason why we shouldn't continue with this project, but we would need specific footage of your storage units and parking or driveway kind of information, much more than just drawing the buildings in there. And we do need to reconcile the issue of, are we talking about two tracks or are we talking about one tract?
And I will get the file.
For zoning issues. Okay. So we look forward to seeing you the second Monday in April.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.
Yes. Don't forget.
I better not be late. Hey, Eddie, and you've told him, I mean, because there are a lot of homes around that track.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, there will definitely be some buffering.
In our meeting, pre-application meeting, we did discuss the probability of buffering where residential tracts adjoin.
That's all the way around. County code.
Right. That is the code now. How y'all decide to implement that, whether you do it with privacy fencing or whether you're going to require space or whether you're going to require both, that's, you know, something that you guys will have to decide, and that will be your condition place if you choose to approve, and that he would have to comply with or choose not to do the project.
But I would assume that there would be some opposition to this.
Well, no letters have gone out yet because we're just a concept.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Okay. So let's move on to the next proposal.
I have a question.
Hearing. Yes.
What's the setback off of Bee Creek? I know it's 45 feet from the easement. But does that go to the building or does it go to the parking?
Setback is from your property line.
Yeah.
It is 25 feet to the furthest overhang or whatever. If you've got a deck on the front or whatever, it's 25 feet.
To the building then. So my drive can actually go into that, the drive for the storage would actually be on the easement part.
A drive can.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Did that clarify?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
Let's
you.
Move on to the Mountain Complex, LLC.
As this is coming, I'll remind you, this is, most of you will recognize this as Branson Underground.
Oh,
came
okay.
to you a while back and mentioned that they had some things going on. At one time, they were going to be putting some buildings on the outside, and we were talking about some backup generators going outside on some pads. This did receive an emergency waiver from the Taney County Commission to allow them to go ahead and start construction. They do understand in the event that this would be denied that everything must be returned as it was. So I will let them tell you what's going on, but that's they are in construction of the pads for the emergency generators now. There's a lot of neat things going on out there and everything, but I'll let him tell you what's going on.
Okay, Mr. Henshaw.
Gail Henshaw. I'm one of the owners. Excuse me. Of what is commonly known as the Branson Underground or the Mountain Complex. What we are requesting is a permission to build a pad, which backup generators can then be installed. If you're not aware of what we've done, we've taken, first of all, an abandoned mine, and we converted to a warehouse several years ago. We since have taken that and are creating a world-class data center, bringing high-tech jobs and operations to Southwest Missouri. It is pretty slick. Some of you may have toured it before, but it's just going crazy on us. I counted 41 cars in the parking lot the other day. I went in and couldn't find a place to park because of all the construction that's going on. Now, our permit is only for the pad on the outside because what's going on the inside is a retrofit of an existing building. But anyway, it's going to be ground sourced, which is we have, it'll be one of the greenest data centers in the country as well. So we've already picked up a lot of press on that. We have 44 wells punched in our parking lot at 500 feet deep to ground source cool the data center on the inside. So, anyway, I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Originally, you were going to have build a building on the outside of this. That's no longer in the plans, am I right?
No, if we do that, we'd have to come back and get an additional permit. As of now, it'll be the pad will be out there. It'll house the emergency generators, which will run when we do lose electricity. To keep the data center computers operating.
And I'm sorry, I was involved in something else there, but these generators will be somewhat enclosed.
Yeah, they'll be enclosed. There'll be concrete blocking around them so that the sound will not be intrusive. They'll be open to the sky, of course, to get rid of the heat and so forth. But we are basically converting a quarry into a high-use situation.
I've got a question for Eddie. Why is backup power? I don't understand why this is there.
Their future, and I don't know how much is out in the open just yet, but their future uses is going to, the type of business and stuff that they're going to be doing in there are going to require uninterrupted service.
I'm not talking about why they have to do it. I work for the electric company. I understand this part. Yeah. We're putting in 3 megs. I see what they're doing. I understand why they're doing it. I don't understand why they're here asking why they need to do it. It's a backup power system.
I agree with the comment.
At all.
I brought this before you.
I must have not been here.
But at that time,
and asked if y'all wanted to hear this
because
they were moving from underground to outside.
Right.
There was
but they were putting
about
a building in at that time.
Pardon?
There were some other issues.
There was concern about the neighborhood and the noise that this might create and everything, and this board asked me to make sure that came before you.
But I thought there were buildings.
And at that time, there was also going to be an outside building, but this is what we presented to you originally, and then found out after we got back with them that they were planning on the outside building, and then that has gone away since our concept.
Okay, well,
concept
can we have an aerial of the terrain, of the map of the territory? Who's going to come?
Is there one residential over there on the
White River Valley Electric?
It's a competition. Go ahead. Build generators.
Also, you'll remember that when we discussed this, there was never any approval of this project at all ever existed. There was never an old Division III or anything. And you said, well, let's
and because it's underground.
I don't know if that's the case or what, but when this went in, nothing.
Well, because it was a quarry before, and
it's a quarry.
How long?
So there was no Division III. So when they begin to build inside the quarry, the underground, there was no Division III for that either. So with that and what was going on, the board said you wanted to hear this.
Okay.
Now, if you want to change your mind,
I was just curious. All I saw was a pad and stuff for a backup power system, and that was it. And I didn't understand why we would be seeing that.
Well, there was some people that were concerned.
Well, there was some concern. We weren't sure what all was going to be going on. I mean, at this point, you know, if we want to pass this over to Eddie, if we're able to do that, I'm fine with making the motion.
There's going to be lots of businesses there, which is already there.
So what are you saying?
I think that it's going to be a lot of businesses in there. I think it's going to be the state of the art.
You mean in the
best
future?
So you're speaking on behalf of the underground mountain thing, but the question is, do we need to hear it through the traditional?
My point is, all we're looking at here is what they're doing for backup power. We're not talking about what's inside the
thing at all. It's just what they're doing for backup power.
Now, what inside is being reviewed by the fire marshal and going through
right,
all that?
Again, I'll just remind you that when we brought this to you, we mentioned to you that there was two projects that came before you. And there was no records on this at all, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But the concern was, with this going on here and what's kind of in that area, we want to hear it so we know how it's going to affect. And that way, so that's where we are. We have documentation from them now as far as, a permit to build, what they've got going, and the emergency waiver from the commission until you decide what you want to decide. If you want to hear it, fine. If you don't, fine with me.
If going through the process would enhance public awareness of this major project that's coming into our community, then I think we could go through the process and not hurt anything. If the planning and zoning process doesn't get good media, press, or visibility, then I think it's a waste of time.
We're not going to put it in the newspaper.
we have enough.
There is
so you've got enough?
Right, I mean, it's all good, just to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because we're not competing against anybody else in the community. It's simply enhancing.
Yeah, there would be 12 letters go out. 1, 2, 3, 4 to Branson Underground, 3 to the Mountain Complex, 2 to Table Rock Asphalt, 1 to John and Mona Cheney, and 2 to BCP Land Company. That's who would be notified.
BCP Land Company is all in favor of.
Well, there we go.
That's who we would notify.
So what do you think?
We're closing on the Cheney property in April.
So you're going to own the Cheney property?
The one individual property?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
the main thing here is all we're actually going to discuss on this particular thing. I mean, all we really are looking at is
because
the structure's gone, is them building a pad that they need to do for their backup generation. And
which is,
I really
yes, and that's
think that that's something you can handle.
As much as I personally would enjoy learning about this major project, and knowing full well that you would conduct tours should we give you a call for those activities.
Tuesday at 10.
Let's move it on to Eddie.
So call me and I'll tell you what's happening. You'll not need to come to more meetings.
Okay. We appreciate not only your official action, but the support of the community in general, what we're doing. So, and tours are available. Chuck is probably not a bad tour. Just call us, and if you don't know how to reach us, Eddie can always call.
Okay. There we go.
Thank you so much for your
Thank
time.
You.
Thank you.
Brass Lantern Resort Community, Daniel Warner, applicant.
We have before us the, if you're familiar with the property, the Brass Lantern Inn. This is down in Cedar Creek. Go ahead and bring that up a little bit higher, Dan. And this, of course, will be the property here. On this property right now is the Brass Lantern Resort. Mm-hmm. And the applicant is requesting to divide this into 1, 2, 3, 4 lots plus the remaining tract to be the Brass Lantern Inn. What do you have after that, Dan? Do you have the
Point of the Lantern? That's it.
Okay. In talking to Ms. Warner, she knows that there has to be a treatment plant put in because these would be less than 2-acre lots, and they would require that. There are a couple issues that we had, and we asked Ms. Warner to come on in and see you first, and then I think we need to send her to the Board of Adjustment to get a couple of variance requests made to start with. First of all, at this particular time, she would like to create these lots, get her community treatment plant. She would like to leave the Brass Lantern Inn as it sits on the septic systems, but that's going to shove them down to 1.89 acres, which is less than 2 and would be out of conformance with Taney County Code. So we feel like there's going to need to be at the very least, a variance for that before it can proceed. These structures here actually encroach on the property line, and the Corps is aware of that, as is Ms. Warner is aware of that. But for you to approve a plat that does not meet what the code book says is out of your jurisdiction to be able to do that. So I think, again, the Board of Adjustment would need to grant a variance to her with proper documentation from the Corps that those structures can exist like that until said time they're torn down.
And that's still part of the resort.
This is the property that is spoken for the Brass Lantern Resort.
Okay, and those buildings down in the lower left corner are part of the...
They're on this plat as part of that, yes, ma'am. It is a single-family home, a garage, and a storage building. Now, this little building here can be moved up and be made compliant. These other two, the one has a deck on it, the big one here, the deck it looks to be encroaching, and then the other one just is not going to meet setbacks. It's only a half a foot off the line, it looks like. So, but I don't know that these are new. Ms. Warner can explain that. I don't know if somebody lives in this year round or if it is part of the resort that's rented out, but it is on this plat. This property would require a commercial well approved by DNR. It will require a treatment plant. For the lots to be created, it is going to require this road here to be brought up to a 50-foot right-of-way, which causes this one to go out of compliance in less than 2 acres. So,
can we have, again, the overhead visual of the neighborhood?
Can you go out?
Pardon?
Pardon?
So you see the neighborhood?
Yeah.
A little more.
So who are all those houses?
These are just individual property owners up there. This is the reason this is before you. This is the Johnny B. Jones subdivision, and this is part of the Johnny B. Jones subdivision. So we're increasing density in a subplatted subdivision. Also, we have a few issues, but this is the Johnny B. Jones subdivision.
Okay. And then using that map there, where is the airplane and airstrip development?
It's back up in here.
Okay.
It's 3 miles.
Okay, so the two things are not related.
No, this is a different project.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, we have... Why do I want to split this up?
No, I know why you want to split it up, but why do you want to buy the Brass Lantern? This is my question.
We already did. We bought it last year.
Okay.
This property has 3 septic tanks on it, so we would like to come in and put a new treatment plant. It also has a shared well with that whole community that we want to sever and be self-contained. Okay. In order to put that treatment plant and new well in, what we would like to do is split off 4 residential lots because it'll pay for the system. Okay. Otherwise, if we can't get the variance, we'll just leave the 3 septic tanks there. And so it's basically looking to...
So the bottom line is, yes, we'll see you the second Monday in April.
Okay. At 6 o'clock. Do you need her to get her variances first before... That's what we've done in the past.
Probably.
And then because if they won't grant the variances, you really can't approve a project.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose you could approve it, but I just need to know your direction on that.
And the variances are particularly with the septic tank and the size of the lot.
Size of the lot.
And then the border
right.
or the lot.
I think that's about it. And there was a couple of little issues that we went over on the plat here.
Okay, so we won't see you in April, but we'll see you in May. Hopefully.
She can make the BOA in April.
Got it. Okay.
Anything, so.
Okay. Okay, appreciate that. Okay, next item on the agenda is we move to permit renewal request.
Where are we? Permit renewal request. We have Lakeshore Resorts and Del Mar Resort Condominiums. If you'll remember this, the Fandales came through.
Mm-hmm.
They had these two resorts, and they had come through and asked, well, let me just let you tell them. They came through with us twice and ended up with 4 different permits.
Yeah.
So.
They, each one of them, they come through twice.
Yes.
They basically come through and on both of them got the multifamily approved for some existing buildings on one, and then the other one was some new buildings. They got the 4 permits and due to the economy, they haven't done anything with it. They want to keep the permits active and just get them renewed is what they'd like to do. And the owners, they live in California. They still run the resorts down there as they always did and everything, but they still plan on building, but, you know, they don't know until things turn around what they will do.
And just according to code book, this has to come before you.
Okay. Is there a motion to issue a one-year renewal?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. So...
You're so, for a one-year renewal.
You're so far away down there, I can barely hear you. Yeah, I know. Okay, and the second business we're coming. Okay, all those in favor of issuing the permits, and we're talking about both resorts, okay, for one-year renewal, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. And then, Mr. Wolf, a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you left the neighborhood?
No.
Come on.
It's kind of like Elvis leaving the building.
Do you have new transportation vehicles?
No, it sits there in the driveway every night. You're going to get you a pair of field glasses.
No, she's got a telescope.
Okay, well, that's good.
Now, I have been gone weekends on fishing tournaments and stuff like that.
Okay. I just thought that looked like a bunch of strangers, but I guess no stranger than usual.
Now, there has been some other trucks parked there for the simple fact is that the guys that go fishing with me leave their vehicles there while we're gone.
I hate it when snoopy neighbors don't get their data right.
See, I hate it.
There's a white pickup set there.
Yes, who's the white pickup?
That's Eric Snows.
Okay, TMI. Thank you very much.
You asked.
Whoops.
A few weeks ago.
See ya.
I ask you about the creation of a lot, a substandard lot for utility purposes for natural gas. You said go ahead. I've had a couple people approach me about concerns with that happening. But I did ask the representative for the natural gas pipeline to come in to speak with you so you could talk with them.
Okay, but before we do that, I have data here for Canine Country.
Canine Country has decided to go on hold for a while.
Okay.
So,
okay, so now we can move.
They were moving too fast and they wanted to go on hold.
We can move on to natural gas.
So we have the representatives here, and I think I'll let them come and talk to you, and y'all can discuss and do what y'all think.
Good evening.
So how is this on the entertainment scale?
Way up there.
Yes.
Okay, fire away.
When we were here last week, at your meeting that didn't have a quorum for, you asked about a map of how the whole county, how the gas line looks on the county. So I've got you one prepared here. This is the Stone County, Tane County line. We're coming in just north of the Penning Conservation Area, sneaking around the north side of them, coming around through the quarry, up here along Expressway Lane, and right south of Expressway Lane on Shepherd Hills Expressway is where we're proposing to put the City Gate Station. And then from there, the pressure in the line will step down, and the diameter of line will step from 8-inch diameter steel to 6-inch diameter steel. From that point, we will come on through the city of Branson, down here to the Fall Creek Road area by the treatment plant, and bore under the lake to serve College of the Ozarks.
How are you going to do that? You're bringing natural gas, burying natural gas lines in the Ozarks.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it going to be on private easement, or is it going to be on county or state?
Primarily private easement.
Pardon?
Primarily private easement.
So how deep do you have to...
Well, 3.5 feet is the standard depth. There are cases where
so you bring in big machines that just chew up the rock and go through valley and hills and...
Yes, ma'am. This is Dave Moody. He's coming in as a new CEO at SMNG. And he's coming from Colorado where they have even bigger rocks.
Yeah.
We do the Rocky Mountains. So.
Okay.
Well, that answers that.
Good here.
Okay. So the issue of the lot, then. The undersized lot or whatever.
Right,
the,
because it's an undersized lot, we needed an okay to plat that. We presented that to you and the Board of Adjustment at the same time. They were in here and for a utility lot, it didn't seem to be an issue. This board decided they did not want to hear that at that particular time. Again, since that time, I've had a couple people approach me and state that maybe they would like to hear that. So these guys are here. They can answer.
Okay, and the lot under question is where? Back.
We have it up here on the... Okay. This is Expressway Lane, and I believe then it's right...
South, where's the lot?
This is the lot, and it's right here, if I'm not mistaken.
Right there. That's correct.
So...
Here's the new site, South. Okay. This is kind of, this is what, red loop, yellow loop? One goes out around nothing?
Well, yeah. When you come down 248 to Shepherd of the Hills...
Charcoal
and, you know, you follow that around, and, the charcoal plant's out here.
3.5 feet trenches.
Is that property part of the Royal?
I think it's across the street. Dan, hover over that.
Big grinding wheel cuts through the road.
Oh, if you can, that's fine.
Well, this is charcoal plant right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
they can't.
So the pipes.
I don't believe it is.
Well, there's sewer lines that are a lot deeper than that, too. 12, 14, 16.
So you don't have to worry about freezing.
It's part of the Bicknell Trust. It's part of the quarry that's off of the view there. It's part of the quarry that's off of that view that's shown.
Blowing up, yeah.
I printed that out. Bring, gentlemen.
It's with the CD.
No, I can't blame that on that. I'd like to, but...
We have a draft plat with us if you'd like me to bring
Dan, if you'll bring that up and show them exactly where they want to put it, and like he says, they have their plat with them. Mm-hmm. But I had the paper that tells who owns the property.
Well, I've about got it now. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Bicknell Family Holding Company.
I just about got it.
Yes, it was all the other.
The timeline for accomplishing this whole natural gas accessibility that is what? How many years is it going to take to do this?
We'll complete this line this summer. We're expecting to have gas in it by the 1st of September.
How big is that lot, Stan?
And then it's an 8-inch, primarily it's an 8-inch steel line.
Wow.
Most of the way. So it's the city gate.
Oh, okay. They just want to make this small lot to hold it. Okay.
Steel line.
I see.
And then, of course, we'll simultaneously we'll be running distribution lines with them. In both the county and the city.
You'll be in contact with all the electric utilities, and there'll be telephone and everything about distance from them.
Yes. And actually, we're in the city now. We're working closely with the city of Branson to get some of those areas that are typically have traffic concerns in the summer. And because we're blocking off some lanes because we're working right there along the right of way. So we're trying to do it right now instead of waiting until traffic.
Yeah, they've been blowing and going down Rock Valley Road, haven't you, the last couple weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're doing. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's natural gas. That's I think an 8-inch polyethylene distribution line being installed.
Did you hover over there?
Huh.
They know public company.
Yeah.
What are we looking for?
That is who owns the property. That's what I was looking for. It's the Bicknell Family Holding Company, LLC.
G. Bicknell Mansion. Yeah.
Currently, you're before County Commission. You have a meeting with them this coming Friday, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. And you are discussing easement. When they ask you what easement, you said private. From what I've heard just on the listing on the website, it sounded like you were going to run along the easements beside the road. Is that not the case?
There will be a few locations where we are on right-of-way.
Yeah, we'll be in county right-of-way.
Well, welcome. Gosh, you know, something I think we've needed. So no I comment. Can have a gas no stove. Wait, Mr. Utility Man here.
What else am I
going to
say?
You know,
come on.
No, okay, so there really isn't anything that we need as far as a decision at all.
No, you had told me to go ahead and create a substandard lot. And as long as you're okay with that, I wanted you to know what we were doing.
Got it.
Because there's a lot of people think that...
So this is information.
You know, this could be a dangerous thing for you and everything. So just want to make sure that you know what we were doing. That's all. I'm not afraid of it.
If I could make a comment.
Unless there's an earthquake.
Well.
Natural gas is new to this region of the Ozarks, at least Branson area, I think, right?
Right.
I've seen several articles in the local papers quite some time ago in regards to this coming to town. But I think somehow or another getting the word out there that you're here and that it's safer than people think and it's very common in other places, I think there's a misperception here that it's a really dangerous project, and then once the gas lines are filled, that's just my perception of when I hear people talking. So I'm wondering if there shouldn't be some type of effort to get a positive image out there that...
There really will be that effort being made here shortly, very, very shortly. We're working on the marketing aspects of this project.
The name of the company?
Southern Missouri Natural Gas.
Are you going to register in this area? Is Missouri One Call already?
We are. Of course, on a very limited basis.
Right.
And there's no product in the pipeline. Yes. Right. Yes, we have to. We are required.
But still, you're in the ground already over there.
That's right.
And everybody else is located, and you're not registered, you're not located, even though they dig into it. Mm-hmm. Line.
Yeah, we're registered.
Yeah. What's the jingle? Dig right.
Dig right.
Dig right.
When you say registered, you mean like a locator, some kind of locator wire on it. So
whatever you make your call into the dig right number, it automatically is sent to them.
We're a tier one utility with dig right. So,
okay.
So I mean, we're mandated by law that we're part of that. Part of that.
How deep on average will that line be?
The steel line will be, like Larry indicated, probably 3.5 to 4 feet deep. The polyethylene line will be around 30 inches, 32 inches of cover.
Sure.
Like to see.
What's
the
line expectancy?
The steel line will be over 100 years. The polyethylene line is over 100 years, likely. It'll be fully compliant, fully federally and state compliant with all safety regulations.
Is there tracer wire on the polyethylene?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
And the gas comes from?
The gas comes from up near Aurora.
Okay.
City gate station off of Southern Star.
Amazing.
Gas pipeline. A lot of it comes out of, still, you know, there's so many areas now. The company is so interlinked with gas, you know, gas line. A lot of it comes from the Mid-Continent production zone. Some will come from the Rocky Mountains production zones. But that's primarily. Some will come from the Gulf Coast, as you should say, production zone.
Okay.
One thing I'd like to say in response to your question, you were asking about safety,
mm-hmm.
and speaking as a homeowner, there is a natural gas transmission pipeline that runs diagonal across the intersection that my house is on the corner of, and except for the small indicator post, I would have not known it was there.
If I could add, I lived most of my life in Oklahoma, and I'd a whole lot rather have a gas line than a 200-gallon propane tank sitting inside mm-hmm. my house.
Oh, I'm well aware of natural gas, but there's a lot of people here that have...
You're right.
I just want to make the comment, I haven't been spreading those rumors.
And what utility
he was
do you represent?
That I was spreading those rumors somewhere. Anyway, I haven't said a word about
Y'all
that.
Y'all could make that commercial on TV, couldn't you?
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen, and good luck to you on this major project.
So those are the facts you're going to leave with me, and I'll go ahead and take them, and then I'll yell at them. That's okay.
Can you run computers off of gas?
You can generate electricity with it.
We generate a lot of electricity with it. That's why we own a natural gas company in Northern Missouri.
Okay, we have two more items on the agenda. The Harris Estates plat.
The Harris Estates plat you no longer have to be concerned with.
And the development codes update. Perchance, is that why you have come in?
That's
this
why Mr. Siren is here.
So happy that he has to be last.
You don't have any more pull than that, Mr. Styron, to get in there?
I sacrificed it all a few months ago.
It's a great life. Okay, Mr. Styron.
As I promised a month ago, I have shown in red here, just like King James Version of the New Testament, the words that will allow you to approve plats for patio homes. And so, anyway, the red words are the changes, and just a few words added to your existing language would allow you to approve a plat for a patio home. There's one thing that, and I think it's fairly self-explanatory. In one situation, I was very arbitrary. That's on page 3, section 5.3. For patio home subdivisions, only if a public central sewer system is available, the minimum lot size shall be 6,000 square feet. The minimum lot frontage of 40. Those numbers are arbitrary. You don't have to do any changes at all. When I was here a few weeks ago, I gave you a table that showed how various towns around have approached that. And some of them have, they go down to Springfield, 3,750 square feet for a patio home.
Is that
patio
per side?
Yeah.
Per side, okay.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So the overall lot for one home would be 12,000.
Okay, because
that's why I make sure we made that clear.
Per home. I'd included that information before. So this is something I would like you to consider, and the legal process is that you all make a recommendation and send it on to the county commission, and then they make a decision to go with your recommendation or not, and they have the ability to make any changes. You are required to hold a public hearing on it before you send it on.
So do we need discussion among ourselves before we go to a public hearing, or do we go ahead and do this in public?
The meeting that we brought this brought up in a public hearing, was pushed on down here as the public hearing. You can take this and come back next month after you've had time to digest her. You can do what you want tonight or whatever like that. I will tell you this, you did ask me to do some checking in this issue too with the fire district and with the health department. And I did that. Jim Single states, as far as a two-family dwelling, a duplex or anything like that, he has no regulations for it. He will not treat it any different than a single-family home. And the health department has no rules and regulations regarding structures.
Okay.
So it would be just like an apartment.
I thought you were going to solve the problem of fractional homeownership.
No, he just gave you information on that, and that was free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did promise to give you a copy of my opinion for that I gave Stone County on the grandfather status, and I left that on my desk.
It's with the video disc.
We'll wait.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd like for you to consider this, and I think that you do need to advertise it for a public hearing, and if there are costs.
And we can do that for the public hearing part the second Monday of April.
So I would appreciate that very much. Okay. Thank you all for staying so late.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time on this, Harry.
Okay. we need to either extend our meeting or adjourn, but we can't adjourn until you bring us an update on the mighty zoning ordinance.
Yes, so you need to extend.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Starr, we will get that advertised.
So we are extending our meeting beyond 9:30, minimally.
Can we vote on that?
Yes. All those in favor to extend?
Aye.
Aye.
You've already got your three, so there you go.
Again, most?
I'll abstain.
Let's see.
I'm kidding, Benita, it's unanimous.
It's penance.
For yourself.
Okay, it's 4-1. Mark said no.
He only gets part of his pay.
Yeah.
No overtime.
I got a couple issues I need to discuss with you real quick, but the county commission did vote and asked me to send a letter to Aegis Engineering rejecting the map and the zoning ordinance, or not the map, but the zoning ordinance, draft zoning ordinance that they had issued to you guys. And in their defense, Aegis Engineering said we had no intention of the county ever even thinking about time to adopt the ordinance or anything like that. We just wanted, as for their contract, we just wanted to go out and take three or four counties, kind of meld something together and say, here's what's going on. The commission deemed it was probably the best thing to do was to make sure that was totally off the table and get rid of all the confusion that was going on with that. And in addition to that, that letter was issued, and I've had several meetings with Aegis Engineering since that time. In addition to that, you asked me to get the map that was created from that work. That map is there in front of Mr. Press, and I believe most of you have had the opportunity to see it. And everything. So you can see there's quite a long way to go there. I've had some discussions with some of you individually concerning the process and how to get where we feel like Taney County needs to be as far as viable zoning districts, that kind of thing. And as you can see, the more people that get involved with this, the harder it is to reach a consensus about anything. I did give you a list last time you were here of proposed zoning ordinances and kind of how we would look at fleshing those out. Somewhat, and I guess I'm to the place where I think probably the best thing would be, and this is the map that you have, Mr. Bonner, here. And as you can see, when Mr. Strahan was asked about that, he said, yeah, it looks like a zebra, or Dalmatian, what he said. And what he's saying is basically it's black and white. I think for most of us, when we see a zoning map, we expect it to be all colors. And not to say that we can turn this into colors, but right now it's just not that place. So we've had several discussions and we kicked around several different ideas, but I guess my question right now to you guys would be the zoning designations that we gave you, are there too many? Do we need some more? Or is that what we want to pursue? And I think if we can make that determination there, that the best course of action would be for us to put some concentrated effort into this thing and bring you back a document that we felt like would be acceptable to Taney County with the zoning district that you
okay, need. And can I make a suggestion?
Yes, ma'am.
Because you did give us homework and you did give us the thing where you had something like 8 different zoning designations, and then you gave us a list of tricky little things to see what zoning designation they might fit into.
Yes,
so let's continue to pursue that and put it on old business for the second Monday in April.
Okay. Can I ask, did anybody see a need for more districts?
One of my questions is churches, religious, was there a category for...
Currently, churches, single-family residential homes, and schools are considered compatible in any district. Now, that would change a little bit, although just because this is zoned for mobile homes doesn't mean I can't put a site-built home in there. You understand what I'm saying? Just like what we're discussing tonight. Just because it's industrial doesn't mean I can't put a home in there, but maybe we wouldn't want homes in the industrial area anymore. That's why I gave you the list saying this may fit into every category. You may want these everywhere, and that's fine. And schools may be compatible everywhere. I don't know that you would want your school in an industrial area, especially if they're... And we don't have any heavy industrial in Taney County at this time. We may never. I don't know that. I know some places that have taken their adult businesses, and they'll say adult businesses are only allowed in industrial areas. And that's how they control where their adult businesses go. Just because it says residential doesn't mean they can only go in an R district. And right now, everything, churches, schools, and homes are allowed.
Okay, what about church camps? Or religiously affiliated kind of things?
Or not for profit.
Or not for profit.
You can be not for profit and not be church.
Sure.
I think just because you're not for profit doesn't necessarily, for lack of a better word, make you not commercial.
I agree.
For instance, I'll take you back to images at the cross. Not for profit, not going to make any money, not church. I mean, it's so you heard it as a commercial business.
Well, I think we saw some of those tonight in one of our decisions.
So
that would fall under that example.
We had a request out on Bee Creek for a show that used to be here in town. It's been sold to another owner now, but they operated out of the IMAX.
Smoke.
I wasn't going to say that, but yes, it is. And the lady came to me and wanted to operate in 10. I said, you need a permit. You need to come before our board and everything like that. And then she chased to the place. I'm a church. And she's a 501c3 is what she said. She said, I'm a church. And I said, well, when I went and saw your show, you charged me to get in. I've never been to a church that charged admission.
They might charge you to get out. But
they ask you to donate, but not, they don't require that. So we argued a little bit over, was she a church or not a church? I said, no, I don't think you're a church. Now, you can appeal that decision or whatever you'd like to do, but no, you're not a church. Some things get kind of gray there. I'm not qualified to say what is a church and what isn't a church all the time. But right now the way it stands, and if we were going to create a book, right now we would say a single-family home is compatible in any area, unless we would choose to say, don't think it should go here. And heavy industrial, you may not want it there. Right now it is allowed. So,
okay, and this is the discussion that we will have on that second Monday in April.
That would be fine, if that's where you want to hit. Again, did any of you think too many? Did anything not enough? And what I thought, I've tried to think through this and say, I can put an example with you where this exists in Taney County right now, with the exception of a couple areas. I cannot. But would they exist in the future? heavy industrial. I can't think of a place in Taney County where we have heavy industrial. Not as described on there. Is that something we want to keep in, perhaps for the future, and have it? I say, if it's too many, it's too many. If it's not enough, if you think of something we need to add in. Do we have too many ags or anything like that? That's what I'm saying. That's kind of where we need to go and decide what do we need here. But we can't really go any further until we make this decision. These are the districts we're going to pursue. This will describe what is in the county right now, and this will handle our needs in the future.
Do you like the designations as they're currently written?
From the research I've done, I think they are defined, and I think they can be seen as different. I don't think we have them all in Taney County.
I agree with that, but you're okay with what you...
I do. I wouldn't have presented it to you, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But
there's a possibility that we may have them in Taney County.
There is a possibility you may have them, and it doesn't mean it has to show up on the map right now.
Right.
It just means in the future we've addressed that issue if it does. Mm-hmm. And here's where we would allow this. We would allow it beside light industrial, we would allow it beside this or that, whatever the case might be. What I thought I would do is try to give you a few examples of each one of these existing in Taney County now, but you would need to be aware that there's some that can't, that I can't. Also, if you could do the same thing, you know, if you could look at it and say, because a lot of you have been around here a lot longer than I have, but I think if we can decide on districts and say this is what we want, then we can move forward pretty rapidly, being 90 to 120 days maybe, and maybe have something that you can take apart that would be acceptable under our current rules without a whole lot of changes. There will have to be, just as Mr. Styron found in doing this for duplexes, there has to be recommendations made, and you have to pull those from somewhere, 6,000 square feet. I mean, you got to do it for something. You know, you've got to establish square footages and you know, road frontages and densities, things like that. If you're going to have different things, you've got to define why they're different. So there's a lot of work to be done, and there will be some recommendations when that comes to you to say, we can live with this, and this is what we would recommend. But it will have to be taken apart, you know, pretty heavy.
I'd like to say something, if I may. There are, I work with and admire engineers in the discipline of engineering, but some things engineers don't do very, very well. One of them is right planning and zoning codes. And there are planning companies that are better at mapping land use and who are people who are professional planners who are more schooled with traditional zoning than most engineers are. And we're looking at what he just did. They kind of approached it in an engineering kind of way rather than a planning kind of way. On issues like zoning for churches and religious uses, those are things where you've got federal legislation for religious land use, whatever it is, act, that was adopted a few years ago. Then there is the body of case law in Missouri from the Supreme Court and the Courts of Appeals about that. And so there are people who are knowledgeable about these those kind of issues and how to handle them. You're not likely to find an engineer. But there are, as far as the number of zoning classifications you have, it's highly arbitrary. There, whether you have 14 or 22 probably doesn't make a lot of difference. The whole country has comprehensive zoning codes that with a great deal of similarity, puts uses in various classifications. And I don't think that you should sweat over whether you get it just right or not. But that you ought to get it generally right. Otherwise, you can argue for years.
If you get it generally right, like you said, you can always tweak it as you go along.
That's right. And there is no system anywhere that's the same. Almost all of the planning and zoning classifications are based on some that were prepared as models in the 1920s. And those have evolved quite a bit, and then in the last 20 years there have been some new models that in some ways aren't as good. But we do have a wide variety of uses in Taney County, but I strongly disagree with James Strahan, who said we are the most complex. Springfield, a whole lot. We don't have any steel mills or auto plants or foundries. We might have little foundries up there. But we do have a slaughterhouse. We have quarries and heavy kinds of work. And we have very little row crop farming. And we have a lot of grazing. And a lot of grazing on small acreages with fairly densely populated. So we have some variety, but it's not beyond what most
people have. Right.
We're still in the
Okay, and Mr. Coxey, I thought you said there were some other issues. And
there is.
Do you want to address the report that you gave?
This is the last thing I want to address to you. As you know, as three of you know, Mr. Chance was here last week and quite distraught over the fact that we didn't have a quorum. Went to the
commissioners, spoke with them, and then called, got us up put on the agenda this morning for their meeting. With their understanding was calling for the removal of the Planning and Zoning Board and getting people in there that would take care of business. So on Friday, I decided I better put together some data so that I would know what was going on exactly with the board and everything like that. And then later in the afternoon, got a call from one of the commissioners asking me for that data, even though I didn't know at that time they were wanting it. So what you have before you there is basically on the front page, it is a summary of attendance from 2006, which is when I started here, up to the current day. And then it'll tell you who you are and how many meetings up, how many you attended that were available for you to attend, everything like that. And then down at the bottom, it'll tell you when different people were added and some stuff like that, and how many meetings we actually had to cancel and why and that kind of thing. And then as you flip back through that, it'll give you a year-by-year summary of that from 2006 up to 2010.
It's an amazing report and confirms again what I have suspected, and this is a very good board.
It is a good board.
And for Bob Shentz to stand up and malign us.
Well,
this is all we need. This is our response.
Well, I went in this morning to the meeting.
Although I will say that it should be out of 97, not out of 102. Our percentages are actually better.
Well, that's just how it calculates out because I didn't put decimals. Okay.
No, I'm just saying that we only had 97 meetings. We didn't have 102.
No.
Because we had inclement weather and no quorum.
We were supposed to have 102 meetings. And because of no quorum, we did not have.
We can't be counted if we're not there.
I mean, we...
What about the committees you served on that aren't included?
Yeah, what about all those?
I'm sorry.
Those count as meetings, right?
Yes, sir, they do.
They will up the percentages.
Oh, yeah, I want mine changed.
Well, you're not going to get it. So anyway, I just wanted you to look at
just
it.
Bring
you know, we, of course, with a couple of you guys, there's some concern that that you weren't reinstated properly last year.
And I know I'm one of them.
You too, as a matter of fact. Told them that you both desired to continue service and that we do appreciate you and that we think you're very good board members and you take an active role in what we're doing. We do appreciate that. Up this year is Sarah and Ray, and I believe it is.
And we're still up since we hadn't been.
Well, I'm hoping you're not. And everything, and we're doing what we can.
If
you have not talked to the commissioners, I would contact them and tell them that, you know, that you do. I do appreciate you coming here. If I think something's very interesting, though, if you'll notice that a few changes were made, and then in 2009, we didn't miss a meeting. In 2009, we had a perfect.
We've never missed more than one meeting in 1 year.
I know. I agree. But if you're in that one meeting, you know, look, in theory, if you miss one meeting, you miss one out of three. That's it. I mean, you've got three meetings to go to.
I'll give Bob my spot.
And everything.
No.
Well, I'll have to give him mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's an awful spot.
If I get called out on a storm.
That's right.
As you could very well.
Sure.
I'm not going to risk losing my job by saying, okay, I can't go out here because I got to go to the P&Z meeting.
Well, that's the exact argument I made. I said, you know, guys, for everything you see in here, there's always extenuating circumstances. I made mention that you two gentlemen, if there's inclement weather, especially with a lot of ice, you're going to be gone.
Frank, too.
Frank also with road and bridge and everything like that. You know,
even at that, look at the numbers.
Well, here's the deal. I went in and looked at the county, at what they do for the county employees.
Yeah.
And I was ready to defend this morning, but Bob got up made a couple statements that were better than what I could defend it, so I just let him go and didn't say anything. You know, he said we've only missed one or two meetings in the past 5 years, so I said, I can live with that.
Yeah.
So I just didn't feel like it was worth doing that, but I wanted you to know that this data was out there, that we had to give it. I'm not looking for anything from anybody, anything like that. But I wanted you to know this was out there. And it's like anything. It's like somebody's job or anything. Until you do it, it may look like they're just sloughing off. But until you do their job, you don't know what they know, and you don't know what they're up against. As a county employee, I'm given a certain amount of vacation. I'm getting a certain amount of sick time. And I'm giving a certain amount of personal time, not counting the holidays that I get. But all told, I can be gone about, what do we figure? 20%. About 20% of the time.
and I'm still considered a good employee because I've not done, well, if I took all of my sick time, they might not consider me a good employee. But it's legal for me to do that every year.
Right.
And for the biggest part, you know, we don't get that here. You know, and the downside is because the numbers on this are so low, 24 meetings a year, and sometimes, you know, a little more than that, but you miss just a couple, and the percentages get way out of whack pretty fast. So, you know, I think it says it all down at the bottom, you know, 95% of our meetings we have.
It's pretty amazing.
And that's good, you know, but if you happen to be in that 5% that got your meeting canceled, you're just not going to be happy. You're just not going to be happy.
206 or 207.
Well,
but
I've gone for 66 days straight.
I mean, we did make the statement, and because Mr. Shantz called and talked to me, and I said, you know, this is not anybody's primary job. And if the primary job says this is what you're doing, I said, they're going to tell me, and I'm going to say, you got to go do what you got to go do. He was very upset that one of our board members had to take care of a child. Now, I don't know if the child was sick. I don't know anything about it. But it doesn't matter. If that's his responsibility to take care of a child, that's his responsibility.
That's none of his business, quite frankly.
Family trumps just.
I agree. And then, gentlemen, our meetings always fall back to back.
Yeah.
You got to take your vacations and things like that. You get the time off your regular job and everything. Yeah, you're deer hunters. You know, you're fishermen. You're everything like everybody else. And sometimes it just falls that way. And sometimes it just lines up for everybody at the same time. Not unfortunately, really. It's not very often, but unfortunately it does.
95% is an A.
I appreciate you guys' effort and everything like that. But I did want you to know that, you know, this information was out there. I wanted to let you have it. We'll continue to keep that updated. They did call today and say, we want this information on your Board of Adjustment. We want it on your sewer board. So.
It's great information.
So anyway, that's what it is.
This meeting is almost adjourned, but let me remind you again that the next time we meet, we will be meeting on
Monday
at 6:00, which is regular daylight savings time minus 1.
Better known as 6 p.m.
Thanks, guys.
For sure.
Hey, Eddie.
It's really 7:00.
Eddie. I meant to say it earlier, but I didn't notice it until afterwards. But.